Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OPNUD for Spanish, Press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi 4, French 5, Swahili 6, German 7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by.
If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, and ship you to Mongolia till you die. And in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, and forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day, cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like healthcare, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. No need to worry about the Constitution. We'll help you start a house of prostitution if that's the kind of work that you want to do. You see, those gringo infidels are crazy. They'll give citizenship to your new baby. So you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. I said, come to the USA. It will be your lucky day, cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA.
This has been a public service message sponsored by OPNUT, dedicated to the collapse of the American way of life. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can hear anything anyway.
Let's see. That thing will make you burn, will make you stay. Hey, baby, when you walk that way, watch honey trip, can't keep away. We'll be right back.
right, it's October 21st, and snow is almost on the ground. It is cold. Let me get Bianchi on, Gene, there we go, and the rest of the folks in the switchboard. If you'd like to join, push one on your keypad, and I will get you on. Did anybody hear what I was just playing?
Yes. Who was that?
Okay. Well, that was less. I was just hitting things. I didn't know if anybody could hear it.
You know who Led Zeppelin is, Bianchi?
No.
Hey.
Well, of course he does.
Is that your favorite?
No.
Johnny?
No. No, not hardly. Not much. Now, did you hear about the George Floyd story? That's getting blown up again. Did any of you?
Yeah, I texted to you. I didn't text the story to you.
Whoa, Tucker.
I took a Tucker Carlson interview by Elegant Gentleman.
All right.
No, that the chat.
Well, Tucker. I think this is somebody. Oh, this is from his ex site that I follow. I follow him.
Now that we know that it was not, in fact, a pandemic of the unvaccinated, now that we know that Ukraine is not actually winning the war against Russia, it could be time to revisit some of the other slogans we've been assured are true and ordered to repeat. Are they, in fact, true? Did, for example, a racist white cop actually murder a man called George Floyd, a civil rights leader, in Minneapolis on Memorial Day of 2020. So we've been told that happened, told it relentlessly for more than 3 years. So at this point, we've been told it so much that pretty much everybody seems to believe it. And because everyone does kind of believe it, a small group of people has been allowed to make massive changes to American society. They include, but are not limited to, decriminalizing stealing, defunding the police, adding a new federal holiday to the calendar called Juneteenth, the ceasing of hiring all white men in corporate America, and of course, significantly, they also sent a cop called Derek Chauvin to prison for more than 40 years. He would be the racist white devil who murdered George Floyd. But the question is, did he actually murder George Floyd? And the answer is, well, no, he didn't murder George Floyd. And we're not guessing about that. We know it conclusively, thanks to a new court case now underway in Hennepin County, Minnesota. The case was brought by a prosecutor there called Amy Sweezy. She's suing her boss. So the case is not actually about George Floyd or Derek Chauvin, but it tells you an awful lot about both of them. In her deposition, which you should read, Amy Sweezy describes a conversation that she had with the county medical examiner, Andrew Baker, right after George Floyd died. Quote, I called Dr. Baker early that morning to tell him about the case and to ask him if he would perform the autopsy on Mr. Floyd. Sweezy recalls all this under oath in the deposition. Quote, he called me later in the day on that Tuesday, and he told me that there were no medical findings that showed any injury to the vital structures of Mr. Floyd's neck. There were no medical indications of asphyxia or strangulation. Oh. In other words, George Floyd, according to the official autopsy, was not murdered. He died instead of what we used to call natural causes, which in his case would include decades of drug use, as well as the fatal concentration of fentanyl that was in his system on his final day. So this was not a killing. It was yet another narcotics OD in a country that courts more than 100,000 of them every year. The medical examiner clearly understood that and, in fact, articulated it. And Sweezy explains. He said to me, she recalls in the deposition, Amy, what happens when the actual evidence doesn't match up with the public narrative that everyone's already decided on? And then he said, quote, this is the kind of case that ends careers. In other words, everyone lied about it from the very beginning. The people who knew the truth hid the truth and allowed the revolution to proceed. Now they've been exposed. Now we know the truth. What happens next? Well, they're going to ignore it. The Biden administration just issued a long purple statement celebrating George Floyd's birthday. He's a martyr. Despite the fact we know that he was not murdered. And by the way, Derek Chauvin is still languishing in jail for the rest of his life. So how do we respond to this? How do we respond to the truth once we have it? Well, Vince Everett Ellison seemed like a good man to ask. He's the author of Crime, Inc. He joins us now. Vince, thanks so much for coming on. So as with so many other stories, the origin of COVID, it's a blessing to have you. We now know what actually happened, but the question then is, what do you do with that knowledge? We know that the U.S. government, Tony Fauci, worked with the Chinese to create the virus that overturned the American economy, but like, what do we do with that knowledge? What do we do with the knowledge that George Floyd was not actually strangled to death by a cop?
We have to acknowledge the people that gave it to us and why. See, George Floyd is the Democratic Party's prototypical black man. These are the black men they are trying to create. So George Floyd has to be elevated. He has to be celebrated. He's perfect to them. He was poor. He was uneducated. He was a drug addict. He didn't have a job. He was down there begging and crying and asking the white people to not kill him. To a white Democrat, this is the perfect black man. So he has to be elevated. Look, a few days ago, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden celebrated hip-hop music. They have a celebration of hip-hop.
Hip-hop culture is America's culture. It is a genre. It is music and melody and rhyme. And hip-hop is also an ethos.
A music genre that calls the black man the N-word, calls women the W-word and the B-word. Talks about misogyny, shooting police, smoking dope, selling dope, fighting, killing, acting a fool. They celebrated this genre. Why? Because this is how they see black America. They see us the same way they see George Floyd. And they have to make more of us because everywhere they rule, you know, John F. Kennedy stood in front of the Berlin Wall in the 60s and said, if you think that communism is great, let them come to Berlin. Well, if you think that the Democratic Party is great, let them come to Detroit. Let them come to Chicago. Let them come to St. Louis. Let them come to L.A., Portland, Seattle, Memphis. Anywhere where they rule, you will see George Floyd all over the place. And they're proud of them. In Baltimore, Maryland, they spend $21,000 per child for every child up there inside the school district. Not one school is proficient in math, science, or reading. But they keep it going every year. Why? Because they're producing George Floyd.
But
and George Floyd votes for the Democratic Party.
But why would – so when most of us, you, me, I think all normal people look at George Floyd's life, you think this is a disaster. This guy never added anything. He took a lot in prison, weeping times. I mean, his life was a tragedy at best. Why would you want more people like that?
Because he votes for the Democrat Party. And then he teaches his children to vote for the Democrat Party. And then these white Democrats can feel superior to him. Yeah. He can be controlled by them. Just like, think about an old slave plantation, Tucker, back in the day, how they wanted their slaves to act. Subservient, obedient, ignorant, you know, doing what he was told, not asking any questions, having a slave mind, being dependent on them. This is how they want black men to be in America. This is how they want the whole black community to be. This is why it started in the Civil Rights Movement. Martin Luther King Jr., in his I Have a Dream speech, said 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. He said five times in that speech that we were not free. It turned the Declaration of Independence on its head because in our Declaration of Independence, it said that our freedom was an unalienable right given us by God. John Locke in the Second Treatise of Government said that an unalienable right is a right given from God. It is irrevocable, non-transferable, and unsellable. The government cannot touch it. It supersedes law. It supersedes the Constitution. However, King said that we would come into government and to the white man for our right to be free. Even at the end of the speech, he said, on some certain day, we'll be free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. He said in that speech, when will we be satisfied? He said, we will never be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. That's a fancy way of saying never. And so black people heard that speech and said that we were not free in America. And we make our children recite that speech every single year on King's birthday. And they say in that speech, the Negro is still not free. George Floyd was a slave in his mind. And the Civil Rights Movement caused him to be a slave in his mind. And today they're still marching, 60 years later, telling black people, you're not free. Beg for reparations. Beg for affirmative action. Kill your children in the womb. Cut off your child. You castrate your children. Let drag queens come into school and shake their behinds in your children's face. Go fight out the public square. And then they end up like George Floyd. But the one thing they do consistently is they vote for the Democrat Party, and the places where George Floyd lived, they stay in absolute power.
That's a pretty dark explanation. So you're saying that the Democratic Party as an organization intentionally degrades black people to keep them compliant and obedient.
Oh, yes. In my book, Crime, Inc., I talk about one of the main things they do, like the mafia and organized crime. They humiliate black people. They demoralize them. It's a Marxist construct. They demoralize their people. They beat them down. They tell them that they're victims. Well, it was Martin Luther King Jr. that said, they tell you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, how can you pull yourself up by your bootstraps when you're bootless? You know, he told us we were bootless. You know, you have black preachers, and you know about my iron triangle, the black preacher, the black politician, the black civil rights worker. They go into the black community. Consistently, you're a victim. You're oppressed. The country hates you. Well, see, I look at them and I say, I'm a black man, but I cannot be oppressed. You know why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. I cannot be a victim. Why? Because I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I cannot be a victim. See, they tell these people to go against their religion and their basic ideology, because most black men say they're Christians, right? But then they walk around saying, I'm oppressed. I'm a victim. I'm afraid. 365 times in our Bible, they tell us to fear not. Yet they walk around saying they're afraid in the United States of America. LeBron James said he's afraid. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said he's afraid. Kaepernick said he's afraid. Well, I'm a black man in America, and I'm not afraid of a damn thing. I don't ask for permission in my own house. America is my home. So as they walk around here crying, talking about, I'm frightened, I'm afraid, I can't make it, please help me, I tell them they stink in my nostrils. They're an affront to God. The flip side of white male intimidation during the civil rights was also black male cowardice. They laid down and let them beat them, slap them around, rape their wives and their children. Well, no, not me, never me. I'm a free man. I live in the United States of America. They say it's an honor to be, that there's white supremacy and that white people have some type of privilege. Well, as I said before, it is a privilege to be white, but it's also a privilege to be black, and it's a privilege to be an American, and it's really a privilege to be a Christian in the United States of America, the greatest country on the face of this earth. And they're not going to make a George Floyd out of me. I stand up strong. I look them in the eye, and I say, I'm a free man. My freedom comes from God. It's an unalienable right given to me by him. You cannot touch it, and if you try it, I got two things that'll get you off of me: Jesus and my 38. Come try me out.
So the Democratic Party used BLM as a domestic militia in the last presidential cycle, 2020, to defeat Donald Trump. Do you expect something like that to happen again?
Well, you see how they use the same tactics as Iran. Iran has Hezbollah and Hamas as their militias. And the Democratic Party uses BLM and Antifa as theirs, throwing the rock and hiding the hand. Of course they're going to do it. They've always done it. Even at the beginning, they used the Ku Klux Klan for their military reign. Now they're using BLM, they're using Antifa, they're using NAACP, and they're their suicide bombers. They're their shock troops. They're their brown shirts. They're their street soldiers. And they're going to go out there, and I guarantee you, Tucker, they're going to look over all the black-on-black violence. They're going to look over all the black men killing black men. They're going to look over all the snatching grabs and all the burning and all the fighting and looting and acting a fool. And they're going to find one crazy white cop that's going to do something to some crazy black man, and then they're going to try to burn this country down for it. That's their plan. That's their template. I hope America's ready for it, because it's coming. And it always works for them. It always works, because the press and everybody's just waiting. Oh, they're on the starting line just waiting for it. And as soon as they find that golden teal, watch them go crazy with it. BLM is going to start getting their money from the Democrat Party, because that's where they get it from. The same way that Hamas gets their money from Iran, BLM gets their money from the Democrat Party. And BLM does not stand for Black Lives Matter. It stands for burn, loot, and murder. And that's what we should call them from now on.
38, it's great to see you today. Thank you very much.
Now that dude, did he not say exactly what Bianchi's been saying for, I don't know, forever. Wow. Very
God
cool.
Damn right, he did on point, too.
Yeah, he was.
George Floyd killed himself. Chauvin should be receive $100 million in reparation from Minneapolis. Minneapolis is going to be broke like a broke dick dog here pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. Gene, I put...
Then they got this other stuff where they lay off white teachers. Verbally say it. We're going to lay off the white teachers before we do the blacks. And some idiot, I was talking to a guy that I said, you think that's right? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. These folks is crazy, man. I don't know what it is. They are crazy.
I don't know. Well, that guy said it perfect. He really did. And now I'd like to know, when are they going to have another trial? This trial, this sentence should be overturned. And Gene, I put you back on, dear. I know you were having a coughing spell there for a second. And
yeah,
Lori Andrew.
The man, the officer and his family should get $100 million in reparations. Break
and
the
I'm
city. If the city want to do some crazy-ass crap like that, I don't know what. It's just like that one up there in Oregon. You got some of the dumbest fist ucks you ever seen in your life with some of the things they come up with.
Yeah, well, Oregon.
You got that right. I just sent you guys an article about, you know, so they're still standing by, you know, it's racist to require math and reading as a graduation requirement. But meanwhile, we're going to expand our budget and expand health and sex education. Because apparently there's not enough of that. You know, it's like, what are your priorities, Oregon? My God.
They got to put tampons in the boys' bathroom, you know. There's one school district is demanding it, and it will happen. So,
what well, they're trying to stop the procreation.
What is black saying in Oregon, Lori?
What is what?
What are the blacks in Oregon saying about that, calling math racist?
Most of them, as far as I know, most of them think it's a bunch of baloney. You know, especially since they implemented that policy. I think it's been about a couple of years now since previous Governor Brown, implemented that policy. And since then, now our Oregon, like, test scores, you know, student test scores, are some of the lowest in the country. I think it's like in the top five lowest of the country now. So it's plummeted. And from, you know, I've seen, you know, people, you know, black people interviewed going, this is stupid. This is dumb. You know, they don't agree with this. So, so this is essentially white representatives and governor, you know, white people in Oregon determining that math and reading is racist. And they don't have the support of black people, you know. Doesn't matter what black people say. Doesn't matter if they disagree with it. Doesn't matter if they think it's stupid. Nope. White people know what's racist and what isn't, apparently, here in Oregon. That's the philosophy.
That's something.
Well, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to keep them uneducated, and they're trying to keep them from reproducing. They're, you know, I mean, by doing the sex ed and saying the math is racist, and because if you have your education, I don't care where you come from. You can come from the bottom of the barrel, but they cannot, if you keep learning, you can better yourself. You can always better yourself when you keep learning. And if they don't want you to learn, they're going to try to oppress that at any means possible.
Well, how did they implement that? Let black students graduate and not have to take an exit math test and make everybody else take the test, whites and other ethnic groups? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Have you ever heard of anything so down?
Or do they just omit it?
I mean, come on, we got to admit, the people that we're dealing with today, y'all, is there something wrong with them? There's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, but I sure in the hell hope I don't catch it.
No, I don't think any right-thinking parent will go along with that crap. Keep people stupid. That's what they want.
Yeah, and not reproduce. No babies.
The
abortion. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said you got to trim the population, and that's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, keep them stupid on government assistance. Keep them dependent upon the government so that they don't ever strive for more.
Yeah, that's... Well, that guy said it all. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought it was Bianchi for a little bit.
I did, too. relative of Bianchi's.
Well, I was wondering, has Bianchi been consulting this man? You know?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, wow.
But you know,
no, believe it or not, there's a lot of them out there. You just don't hear them.
I was just going to say, it's just nice to hear more and more blacks speaking up against this kind of stuff. You know, it's refreshing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of them is in these precarious positions as far as job-wise, because who they work for would come and attack them, especially if they're working for the government. You know, you look out on the East Coast around Maryland, that you got a lot of blacks that work for the federal government, in D.C. and that, and they won't say anything. And especially if you got them working in academia as professors and that. And, of course, the school district is teachers in the urban schools. But you got a lot of them out there that do know this and can speak this well and eloquent as anybody else. A lot of it is based on experience and observation, and they exist. I mean, it's quite obvious. If you just take the time to do a comparative study and ask some questions, then it's as plain as the nose on your face what's going on, what has happened, and how people have been duped and bamboozled. I'm not saying the wrong things didn't happen. Well, yes, they did. But my goodness, to keep on following that same old wagon, it's just totally ridiculous at some point. And you know, you're right, Gene. They don't educate young people, whereas they can make some analytical choices and concerns as it has to do with their life and the communities that they live in. I don't want to say too much.
Well, as long as they keep them dependent upon the government, they'll have basically minions. You know, do as we say, otherwise you're going to lose your food stamps pay cut. Or your housing is going to get cut, or, you know, whatever. They're just trying to keep them dependent so that they'll keep their little minions doing what they want them to do.
Yeah.
Which is vote for them, you know. Keep voting them in so they can keep in power.
It's like Hillary Clinton said, we got to be reeducated. Come on, let's get it right. Got to be re-educated. I don't know if you can't be re-educated. I don't know. Hold on here. What the hell is going on?
Parties in the past. And we had very bitter battles over all kinds of things, gun control and climate change and the economy and taxes. But there wasn't this little tail of extremism wagging the dog of the Republican Party as it is today. And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
And how do you...
Very sure.
Oh, come on, Hillary. This, what they're doing, they put on the Republicans and Donald Trump.
Is brainwashing.
They're the ones doing it. This woman should be under the prison, not in it, under it. And she's got balls of steel to get on TV saying things like that. Because she knows nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Never does. Probably never will.
Oh, speaking of which, what about Sidney Powell and what's his name pleading guilty this week?
Yeah.
They're telling them that they have to testify. Basically, if in a trial against Trump,
yeah, well,
the court, part of the court order.
Yeah, but what are they going to testify to?
Well, what they pled guilty to, they interfered or they, you know, basically, I was just like, oh my gosh, I was
thought,
just overwhelmed.
It was a thought. They think the election was rigged.
Right.
They went out to try to prove it. That's no crime. My God, in 2016 and 2017, before Trump took office, all the Democrats from different states were going, we want, you know, whatever in the hell they call it when they certify the damn thing. They all raised hell about it.
Bill Stein. Look what she done. She raised money.
Yeah, she wrote a stinking book about how it was stolen.
And Paul, on the advice of her attorneys, whoever was with her, went on and pleaded guilty to a lesser charge where she wouldn't have to be spending a lot of money. But when you go to ask for information so that you can investigate, and then you have to wait till you get authoritative information. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of crooks, man.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. And as long as it takes these other folks, they're going to run them out of money. And that's when we'll testify now. I think
that's what they're doing.
Yeah. When their districts that they are in is as riddled with crime like New York City. It's terrible.
Well, they said New Jersey and Chicago and Detroit. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
I believe in some of those cities they let that happen, especially in you got a black government. I think they let that happen.
I think they let it happen. White governor, a white mayor, I believe it. I believe I think that's their marching orders. Let it happen.
Let it happen because what you're doing is self-imposed genocide. You're getting rid of each other.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, just even recently here in our area, I'm sure you've heard about it, Don, in the news. You know, there's been two wives that are, one's missing, one was found dead. And both husbands, both spouses, were pulled over by cops and they killed themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, they weren't couples either. One was like an older couple in their I want to say 70s.
I don't know. I think so.
The one couple was older.
Yeah.
It's crazy where we are.
Yeah, it is. Dumbing down America and just letting them get people just get away with everything they want to get away with. I'm really surprised it hasn't happened really in Flint. Been pretty quiet.
Right.
Very proud of the people in Flint. Remember, it used to be Detroit and Flint would be leading off back to back.
Mm-hmm. And Saginaw.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
How?
That's why I come out. That's why I have been saying, and not many others too, that states pay the salaries of the congressperson and the U.S. Senate. The salary comes from the state. Because once you get up there in Washington, D.C., and you amongst all the rest, you're going to do just like they do.
Yep.
And you don't know where their money is coming from. I hear that Solis was receiving money from Bankman, the guy that was with the crypto money.
I heard that too.
Yeah. I've been hearing that a lot of the representatives that voted against Jordan was getting money from organizations that didn't want nothing to change. They were all for McCarthy. Get McCarthy back in there.
And that's exactly what he was. McCarthy wasn't changing anything to anytime soon.
No.
I mean, he's got that look on his face, like a slow motion.
They said he had a secret agreement with Biden on how to get more money to Ukraine.
Oh, and I don't doubt that.
Gates came out and said that. He said he found that out, and that was the last straw. That was it.
That's right. Gates has been nominated.
Oh, he doesn't want it. He's never been shy about that.
Well, and I was always surprised that Jordan accepted the nomination. Because Jordan didn't want it either, supposedly. Remember the first time around?
Yeah, he didn't want it then. But I don't know what changed his mind. I have no idea about any of that. All I know, at more, he ran three times and lost support all three times. So, and then they had a secret meeting and they took him out of nomination. Now, how about Coca-Cola and Sprite? Let's see. I gotta remember some of these people. They're quietly removing support for Hamas backing Black Lives Matter from its website. Now, people have taken pictures of Coca-Cola's website with BLM on their website, and then now they're not there. BLM is gone because they came out.
Major League Baseball and all the professional sports team. The NFL provided over $250 million for a Black Lives Matter cause. And now I hear where Black Lives Matter is supposed to be back supporting Trump.
What? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, you didn't read that? I thought I texted it to you.
No, I didn't see that. Wow.
I didn't hear it. That would totally surprise me.
I'll see if I can get it to you again.
Considering all the rhetoric that they spewed, you know, against Trump.
Yeah.
So
well,
it might be one of those moves, being that these other – but I wouldn't let these corporations forget it. See, that's another thing. You never let them – if you walked away from them, continue to walk on by.
Yeah.
Like the song went. And that's where you make the mistake. Heck, I pulled away from Simple Mobile and the rest of them phone. I went to a phone company that outwardly say that they work to support programs to prevent veterans from committing suicide. And they're raising $10 million to pay off the mortgages for veterans who are in one of those positions.
Well,
you never
great.
Hear no these other companies do that. And then these other companies like your Verizon, they anxious to share information to the Justice Department, to the CIA and other agencies about your calls and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of those other companies, Amazon, Sprite, DoorDash, Dropbox, Warner Brothers, and Microsoft. So if you are kind of boycotting these people, continue doing so. You were doing good without them. Why start back with them? And I tell you what, when your FBI agent, the head of FBI, comes out and says, take care of yourself. You know, you be on the alert. Have your head on a swivel. Because, you know, these open borders, now they're trying to cover their ass. Because they know they've let in some Hamas, some of these terrorist groups. They know it. Now they're coming out. Ray came out and tried to cover his ass by telling us to cover ours.
Well, that damn Mark Garland, he told financial institutions that they have to lend money to illegals.
Can you freaking believe that?
No, nothing hardly surprised me no more.
So, I mean, what does that mean, then? That we can just walk into the bank and not show ID, not show any proof of who we are, and say, give me some money? Isn't that called robbing a bank?
That's basically what it is.
And that's okay.
They were getting money under the I-10, individual tax identification number, because they wasn't qualifying for Social Security. Hell, they get driver's license.
Wow.
I was when I moved down here, I had to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles for something. I don't remember what it was. Oh, I had to get a sticker for a car that I bought for my grandson. And I had to go get it inspected. And I went to the motor vehicle office, and I was sitting there, and two foreigners came in. It looked like they came from South America. One spoke English, the other didn't. And they put in some papers to her, and the lady all of a sudden started asking questions. And one that couldn't speak English, I think he could. He just looked at his guy that was talking to the lady, communicating with her, and they were going back and forth. Sooner or later, they grabbed their papers and hustled right on out of there. She wasn't allowing whatever it was that they was trying to do.
And so they busted on out of there.
They busted right on out of there.
Good, good.
And you can't tell me that stuff's done. Like Obama said, he said they wanted to go to work. Here's the justification for them being able to get, which he really has nothing to say about any damn way. Federal government has no business telling a local, a state's DMV how to operate, but tell them that they need to get driver's license so they can go to work. They ain't supposed to be working. Biden is, Schumer. Well, someplace saying the reason why you got to let these illegals in is because we're not having babies. Well, hell, you promote killing babies on the easiest of things. What the heck you think? Don't you think that's going to catch up with you sooner or later?
You think?
God, what a joke. Schumer, what a joke. You know, I wish we had Sarah Huckabee Sanders for our governor. She's one badass.
She's the governor in Arkansas, ain't she?
Yeah. And she's already taken the land away from China. It's 100-something acres. They were doing seed, something with seeds. And she said, you just lost it. And if you want to take us to court, our attorney general has that all set up too, so, but we're taking
with a GMO.
With
a GMO seed.
Yeah, and she said that's terrorist. You know, you can look at it that way, and she's right. She also is banning woke words from the state government. Now I don't know exactly what woke words. I know one is pregnant. Two, pregnant people. I mean, that's woke.
Birthing person.
Hold on, yeah. Let's see what they are. She's going to tell us here. Now, let me get this going here. Come on. Sir.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us.
You're welcome.
It's great to stand up here with some of the most influential and amazing women from across our state. We are all here to say, frankly, that we've had enough. Enough trying to erase women and girls enough denying our biological differences from men, and enough of the craziness that is taking over our country. I've had the honor of being both the first woman and the first mother to serve as the governor of Arkansas. Before that, I was the first mother and the third woman to serve as the White House press secretary.
Why does every outdoor brand think I want to look like this?
I don't know. Why do you want to
look like that?
Because of that, I came into this role with a few pretty unique experiences. Among them is giving birth to three amazing kids. That experience underscored to me that a woman's perspective is important and fundamentally different from a man's. Nowadays, though, only conservatives seem to be making that point. On the left, women have taken a backseat to political correctness. It's why Senator Irving and Representative Barker had to pass the Fairness in Women's Sports Act to defend our girls across the state. They're using nonsense words to erase women and girls, and more importantly, to erase our voices and our experiences. Today, we're taking a stand against woke nonsense. What frankly started as a fad among a few grad students has seeped down into corporations, the healthcare industry, and increasingly, state government. It's demeaning to women, and it needs to stop. In a moment, I'll sign an executive order banning a number of all sorts of ridiculous words from state government documents. Those include words like pregnant people, laboring person, birth giver, and several other nonsense terms that have cropped up in recent years. Some on the left will accuse us of being nitpicky, that Arkansas should just lay down and accept the cultural revolution without complaint. I say it's the exact opposite. It's the left that decided that woman is a dirty word. It's the left that decided we needed to toss out basic biology and basic grammar along with it. I think they're just mad that conservatives are starting to fight back. And they better get ready because we're just getting started. Thank you for being here, and thank you to the amazing women that are standing up here.
All right. All right. That's not the tape I wanted, but a... Hey, that works.
It works.
It works.
Well, you do know here in Michigan, the governor signed into law that you must use the pronoun of choice of the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, suppose they want to use the MF. I'm a happy MF.
How you doing, Bring Your Boy and Joseph and... And Robert.
But you know, I was, like they were saying too, it's like, I'm sorry. You know, no, if you want to pretend to be something you are not, you know, I think it was Candace, I was watching Candace Owens. You know, just because you choose to pretend does not mean that you need to force me to pretend that you are something, you know, that
yeah.
you're not. But she used the example of, oh, what was it? A fish or something like that. She goes, just because you see a fish doesn't mean I see a fish. I see what's reality, you know, doesn't mean I need to call it a fish or something like that. And I'm like, that is so true. You're forcing me to lie and to pretend in your fantasy. And I shouldn't have to.
Well, I'll
yeah.
tell you one thing about the state of Arkansas. Don't try to run from the highway patrol. If the highway patrol is behind you and they throw their lights on, you better pull over and throw up a white flag right away. Because they do not play.
Nope.
They would do a pit stop maneuver on you even if you ride the motorcycle. I've seen it. They don't give a damn. And I don't blame them. Now, they may make a mistake here now, a majority mistake. You're trying to run from the highway patrol, they going to get you, and it's going to be holy hell when they catch you in Arkansas. Need to have more of that, especially out in California. Damn, it done became damn near Las Vegas betting pool on runaways a car speeding away from the highway patrol in California. It looked like you have one every hour.
Hey, there's a guy that does a show on YouTube. And Smoke and Something. I can't remember the name of it. Almost nightly, there's a chase. And he shows it. He shows it. You know, he follows along with the helicopter. And, yeah, you're right, Bianchi.
I'm waiting for a governor to tell the courts to go to hell. That's what's needed. These courts are making laws, making rules that's ridiculous. They're not supposed to be getting involved in that crap. You know, the constitutional, the courts have the lowest authority position there is. Let's read it. They have the lowest authority. And you got these judges that's especially attacking the Second Amendment. They need to tell them, go to hell. We're going to do it. If it's, we think it's unconstitutional, we're not listening to you. And I know you got people out there that don't beat upside of the head by the courts before. I ain't never been to court for nothing. Maybe one time. Other than that, I've only had one moving violation in my life.
That's
and
me.
That was on a motorcycle. So I ain't worried about the courts. You need to tell the courts to go to hell when they try to violate your constitutional protection.
You want to hear something really messed up?
Not really.
Bring in, well...
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The strike that's going on. In Detroit, there was a semi-driver trying to make a delivery into Atlantis. And, of course, the strikers are, you know, doing their picking like they, you know, always do to hold them up.
Yeah.
And then so the driver decided to have words with the people. And all but one was black, okay? And the driver was black. And it continued and it kind of escalated. And finally the driver gets out of the semi with a gun and starts, you know, really, and then he starts making the racial slurs at the white guy. Well, the police were called. And the, you know what, this is where the messed up part is. Even though the semi driver was the actual aggressor,
mm-hmm.
The police told the picketers it was their fault. It was their fault they're on strike. It's their fault that this guy had to get aggressive, and he let the guy go.
Wow. Wow.
Is that not messed up?
Yeah, seems to be. Seems to be. Wow. I never heard of that.
It was just this last week that happened in Detroit, the Detroit area.
Damn.
To one of the Mopar facilities.
Will you guys take over for a minute? I got to deal with Otis for a second. So it's all yours.
So we need more police like Arkansas. All over. Hello? Bianchi, did you just sit here too?
Well,
the idea.
You know, that's why pickets were so effective, especially on construction jobs. Cement companies would not deliver if you got a picket. You know what they done? They had second gates. They came up with the second gate tactic. Well, they had the main gate, and they had a second gate. But yet and still, concrete companies and other suppliers would not deliver to a job when a basic trade was on strike.
Right.
I mean, if plumbers are on strike, why are you going to deliver plumbing materials? There's nobody to unload it and nobody to install it. I mean, it's not your business as a supplier whether it's installed or not, but who's going to unload it? Everybody's on strike.
Well, they have management unloading and management doing that stuff. And actually they've been busting in what they call scabs. They've literally been busting them in to the Mopar units, and they have security guards that are there to escort them into the facility. It's mainly happening at the Stellantis corporations or companies, locations that are on strike because, yeah, well, I guess he's French. The CEO is French. So, you know, he doesn't have a qualm about, you know, he doesn't care about the Americans in our little petty ways.
Well, you know,
but
what,
hired...
in the case you described in Detroit, that driver was flourishing. That's what he was doing.
He was
flourishing a weapon, and he should have been fired for that. But right. I guess because you're black, you get a get out of jail card. He should have been cited for flourishing, and his weapon should have been taken away from him.
Yep. Yep. And well, he was trying to hit them too, you know, with his truck. He was literally trying to creep up and hit these people. We've had a lot of picketers this time around hit by vehicles. The five that were hit here in Swartz Creek, that was a 19-year-old that hit him. And he's being charged with, you know, the felony of assault with a deadly weapon. I think that's what it was. And it's like, he's 19. He's done. His little life is now shot because of his own stupid mistake. Trying to be, a little Mr. Tough guy and running into people with his car.
Yeah,
there were more reported, but there were more reported this week that were hit by vehicles.
Well, for me coming up, that was probably learning episode number 25 of me and my grandfather. He told me, don't you ever walk across a picket line.
Right.
Taught that to my kids. Told that my grandson came in today. He said, Papa, I bought some new shirts. I didn't have to ask him. He said, yes, and they made in America.
There you go.
This whole...
You just got to look. They can be done. Don't save a buck.
I hear people complain all the time, gripe, whine, bitch. But you're out there supporting the very entities that you complain about or spending your money with them. Don't spend a dime with them. Ain't that the old story about the Jew? A Jew would drive 5 miles out the way to get to a bagel shop rather than an American bakery?
Yeah. That was a long time ago, but yeah, I've heard that. I've read it.
And I applaud Sarah Huckabee for stripping
a foreign
adversary for land. Why would you let your adversaries own land in your country? You can't do that over there where they are.
That's right. It's because we stupid Americans. We stupid, greedy Americans.
They had a hearing on that subject in Louisiana State General Assembly in a room.
We've covered some.
The room was packed, and it was packed with Chinese here in Louisiana working at the university on visas. But what the hell is one thing? Have they got getting involved in local politics, U.S. politics? They aren't citizens. One guy the police had to take out, saying that your bill will be against us. So you mean to tell me we don't have any Americans that can hold down these professorships? I mean, this is a job. This ain't a student. This is a job. And then they had another professor that threatened a LSU professor. He was, I think he was former, I'm not sure. And he threatened on the radio, I believe it was. This guy threatened harming. He should have been locked up. They fired him, but they allowed him to continue attending the university as a student. Well, he should have been removed. If anybody else done something, another student was to act outrageous like that, especially against somebody black, they would be removed from the university.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if they're, I don't know. The reverse racism is just horrendous. Makes me angry and sad at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we can't let them define who we are. That's all it is. And that's what Bianchi has been saying for how long? Don't let them say that you're that, because you're not, you know. Don't let them call you that.
Got a lot of people on the switchboard. If you'd like to chat, push one on your keypad. A few people in the chat room, if you'd like to join, call in. I'll get you on. I've been sick all week, folks, and it comes and goes, and now it's coming back right now, and so I'm going to probably be quiet for a little while. That's how it goes.
Uh-oh. I hope you get to feeling better.
I know. I missed a lot of last week's show because I got sick.
You take your zinc and your elderberry with vitamin C?
No, I don't take that.
Well, you need to do that. You know, we don't
vitamin
talk
C
about
and
this
D.
Stuff. You got a bad knee.
What's that?
Your vitamin D?
Yeah, I take that. Yeah.
Well, get some zinc and take that. Get the liquid kind.
And magnesium.
That shit. I can't take that magnesium.
The zinc?
I can take
your zinc.
Yeah, I do take zinc. Because it doesn't make you stink.
Yeah. You get the liquid concentrated and squirt a little in your mouth and drink a couple
ain't
gulps of water and you start feeling better immediately, probably. Why you had to give Otis some?
If I knew it would make us feel better, me and Otis would have it. Right, Otis? My little buddy. Yeah, he keeps late hours or early morning. We didn't get to bed. I got to go to bed early this morning because Cinnamon stayed up with him. But tonight's my night. And the other night, or other morning, it was 7 o'clock in the morning before I got to bed. I felt like crap.
Oh, my.
Me and him. Yeah, anyway, we'll make it through. We'll make it through. But I got one complaint, one big complaint. Baseball. I'm watching the Houston-Texas game last night. The guy hits a home run. He walks halfway down the first baseline, holding his bat, kind of looking at the dugout. And then he slams his bat down. He starts a look-at-me cameras jog around the bases. And the catcher said something to him, but I don't know what it was. Nothing happened. So he comes up the next time up, and the pitcher drills him in the arm. And, you know, bench is clear. And he made sure everybody had a hold of him before he acted like he wanted to do something. And I was saying it last night, told Cinnamon. I said, you know what? This is back in the 60s. That guy would have had and Bob Gibson being on the mound, that dude come up the next time up the plate, he better have a damn armor-plated head because Gibson's going to put it right in his ear. And he ain't going to throw a slow one. These guys show off. They got 50 pounds of gold hanging around their neck, every one of them. It doesn't matter. And they all look into the heaven once they touch home plate. And it doesn't matter what color you are, if you're thinking, every one of them do it. And it pisses me off to no end. What's that guy, Jesus, plays for Philadelphia Phillies. I can't stand looking at him. He's supposed to be a model or something. I don't know. He's an arrogant piece of crap anyway. Plays right field or first base for Philadelphia. God, he does the same damn thing. Yeah, you better
run around
those bases in the 60s. You better run around those bases. I'll tell you that right now. or you get your ass
handed.
You
talk about Gibson. You know, Mike Shannon and them used to get together on some programs and talk about.
Mike Shannon, hey, that's a name. That's a name from the past.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Oh, yeah, Mike Shannon is?
Yeah, he died.
Oh, hell, I didn't know that.
But anyway, it was telling a story about Bob Gibson. And Gibson was pitching. I guess he was pitching in the ninth or something like that. And a couple of batters got on. Here comes the coach. Gibson looked at the coach and said, where are you going? Get on back in there. I know what I'm doing. He was just that way.
Oh, yeah. You didn't take him out. You did not take him out.
He didn't take no crap. You know, Roberto Clemente hit a line drive back, and it broke his leg, and he still pitched for about two more innings.
He did. You're right. I forgot all about that. Yeah, Roberto Clemente, number 6, Pittsburgh Pirates, right fielder, died in a plane crash.
Number 21.
I thought he was number 6.
No, 21.
Al Kaline was number 6, and that was his hero, all-time hero. Okay, smartass, 21 then. You want to make me look bad? Go ahead.
He died in a delivering relief supplies to hurricane victims there in Puerto Rico, wasn't it?
No, yeah. I don't know if it was Puerto Rico, but yeah, the plane went down.
That's where he was from.
Yeah, it was a shock to the baseball world. I know that. What a hell of a player.
Yeah, he was something else.
All right, and we'll save the rest of baseball stuff. I told Cinnamon I'm probably going to start this show off with that because I was so pissed off. You just, damn people. Anyway, I'm done. Go ahead.
Well, it's getting just the showboaty is the NFL.
Oh, I can wake up now?
Yes, yeah.
I don't watch any of those sports anymore. It's just like, I sit there and I look at them and I go like, all I see is these big baby men, you know, getting paid all these millions of dollars, and they're telling everybody how oppressed people are. That's all I see in them. I don't even enjoy movies because all I hear is they're wah, 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 wah from politics.
Well, there's some damn good players, and they deserve what they get because they're that good, and they're gifted, but they had to work hard also. But once they make it to the big time and they start this arrogant bullshit, it just irritates me. That's all. I wonder if NFL, no, the NBA is going to have BLM on the court. Going to disappear now. I don't know. But, yeah, they back Hamas. They back Hamas. And our lady from Detroit, Representative Tlaib, she was crying and screaming in the microphone for a ceasefire. Going to ceasefire. Didn't give a damn one about what Hamas did. At all.
But she's back for Hamas. Her and AOC and Omar, they're all back in the Hamas. Decapitating children, torturing children, killing children, and filming it, and, I mean, and doing it in front of parents to torture them. That's just, But people still back them. People still support AOC, and it's like, really? They're showing their true colors, people.
AOC is terrible. She pooped her pants during an interview the other day. And, man,
really?
that went viral. Oh, my God.
Literally? She literally?
Well, no, she farted.
Oh.
Passed gas.
Oh.
I said, man, I'd rather hear that than hear her. Tell you that.
But like Whoopi Goldberg, huh?
Megyn Kelly. Whoopi.
Saul Whoopi.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Megyn Kelly. What about Megyn Kelly?
Well, she passed gas on it, on air, started giggling, and she didn't try to hide it. She didn't try to hide it at all.
That's funny. Well, at least they're not like Biden literally pooping his pants.
I wouldn't doubt that. I'm sure of that.
Now, there's a rumor, too, that Biden came back early because of health reasons, not because of, you know, the conflict or whatever.
I don't know. I know he was there, what, for 8 hours? Seven, eight
Something
hours?
Something like that.
Oh, hell, Biden.
Biden goes to the toilet.
Biden goes to the toilet. He missed the commode by a good foot and a half.
Yeah, it's like the rumor when he was at the Vatican. When he was at the Vatican, he had a mishap.
An accident.
They had to get him a
As we talk about our puppies, you know, an accident. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go to sit down in the toilet and forget to lower the seat, then all of a sudden he's stuck.
Now that would be a funny thing.
His dog bit another agent here in the recent past. Secret Service agent.
Oh, bit another one. Well,
yeah. If it was our dogs, would we not have to have them put down?
Oh yeah, probably.
If our dogs bit that many people.
Yeah. I guess. Let me get 989 on. Hey, 989, you're on.
Just for the record, I like Led Zeppelin.
There you go. Me too.
Dad, I hope you're feeling better. This is your old friend.
Uh-oh. I don't have any old friends.
Don't have any old friends? Well, I'm old.
You're old.
We've been friends since we were in school.
Oh, God.
Oh. You better start digging that head of yours, you know. Dip it in that brain.
I live up north.
You live up north, and we went to school together.
Yep, you knew my husband.
Damn.
He just passed away not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. Jeannie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Dad. How are you doing?
Good. Trying to put up with these.
Oh, my goodness. I know who Jeannie is.
You do?
You do?
Isn't she the one that did the show in the beginning with you?
Oh, no,
in
no,
the way
no.
In the beginning? Oh.
No, that's another Jeannie.
No.
The UAW
show. Jeannie? Oh, my.
Well, I'm Dean, so does that count?
Yeah, you're Jean, she's Jeannie. Now we're all confused.
Yeah.
Well, it's really nice to hear from you.
Well, I've been listening every couple of weeks, and I sent you a message because I was down there a couple of weeks ago, but you never answered.
I don't go to Facebook a lot. I don't go to Facebook if I can help it at any time. But
really?
Once in a while,
I just go to Messenger is all I go to, and I play a few games on Facebook and look and see what my kids have put on, and then I'm done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's about a UAW show, I think, is most of the time. And a friend of mine died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I wanted to you know Sandy Takish, I believe.
Sure.
Her brother.
Sure.
Yeah. Her brother died. No, Johnny.
Johnny. Oh,
Johnny.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sandy lived right down the street from me. Growing up.
Yeah, right. That's growing up.
Yep. You remember Carol Packney?
Yeah, yeah.
She passed away not too long ago.
Damn. They're building my box right now as we speak.
I know, exactly.
It feels like
we're,
it anyway.
We're getting there. But I pressed to talk when you were talking baseball. I do not like any of the smart aleck ball players now.
Uh-oh. We've got a baseball fan. And
oh,
she's a female.
Gosh.
Did you hear that, Lorianne? Lorianne probably hung up.
Well, you gotta have some estrogen on your side to listen to your baseball talk.
I had no choice. I had no choice. I had my dad was a coach.
Oh, see,
my
she's reluctant.
Was a coach. My son was a player and a coach, and now my grandson plays.
Oh, wow.
You just hooked right in it.
I guess, you know, he's been on varsity since he was a freshman.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
I think so. I just, you know, hope he doesn't get hurt. He pitches and catches.
Oh, hold on. Well, catching is the catcher is the best position on the field, period. So,
well, exactly.
Good for him. You
but
see
pitching
everything.
Is too, except you can get hurt pitching. If you
yeah.
don't have the reflexes.
Yeah, and they do. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, even just using their arm a lot, they get hurt.
Yep. It's scary.
See, my next question to you to try to guess who you were is, did we fool around together?
No, we did not. We were just friends, but we were good friends.
Good
we
friends.
Hung out neighborhood.
Did we kind of kiss or anything?
I don't think so.
Well,
sound like simple benefits.
No, Donnie,
I wish
you came over. You had to keep your mittens on.
Well, if we didn't kiss, I know damn well it didn't go nowhere else.
No, wasn't it keep a dime between your knees or your feet in a quart jar?
It was somebody's dad told me, you'll be wearing my foot in your ass for the rest of your life if I hear one bad thing about you. And that was when I was in sixth grade.
I remember my stepmother telling me all the time, we were always told to keep a dime between our knees.
Yep.
Or both your feet in one quart jar.
Yep.
It's like,
dime fell, you were not being good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, see, that would put your butt in the air, and that's fine, too. See?
Not if you were sitting on a seat.
Us guys can figure a way out of all, you know, don't worry about
it.
I
know. You guys can
do
anything.
I took wood shop. I know how to do a seat. I cut a hole in it.
That's back when they had wood shop in school. They don't have it anymore.
Ours does.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
They quit doing all that up here. They don't even teach kids how to write cursive anymore.
Now, that woodworking, because they do displays and everything every year at the art show. And then they also have the GISD, which that has more intricate, you know, for cooking and other stuff, too.
Right. Yeah, they don't have any of that up here.
Yeah, home ec doesn't exist, I don't think, anymore.
No.
Health gym doesn't either in a lot of
no,
school.
No, they don't have gym class at all either.
Oh, they do up here.
Do they?
They do here, yeah.
You're in the Flushing area.
Yep.
I don't know if Flynn has sports or not, or a gym or not.
Yeah, they have PE here. They have, or in our school district, they have... You have to have PE for graduation. It's a requirement.
Not here.
Huh. Well, I don't know.
Of course, we're a really small area.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a whole new world compared to living in Flint.
Oh, yeah. Up north is a beautiful spot.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere. I've been here 33 years.
Damn.
And all my friends down there say, oh, you'll be back in a year. Nope. we moved up here. I can sit in my living room window. I can see the leaves change colors. It's beautiful. I see wild animals. I love it.
Nature.
Yep.
We were designed to enjoy nature.
Yep.
Wow. Good for you all. Us lovers of pavement, congratulate you.
You're a mud lover, huh?
Hey, I still come down every
here
now.
In Salem. Talk about loving nature here in Salem. There's been a sighting of a cougar wandering around the area.
That's what they call you. They call you cougars. Don't get that mixed up.
No, but like a real one, like a mountain lion kind of cougar.
Oh, that kind of.
Dad, you haven't changed a bit since school.
Well, of course I have. I have gray hair, and that's
well,
changed.
Yeah, and your voice is a little deeper, but I can still tell it's you.
Oh, God. I sounded that bad back then, too, huh?
Donnie went through a fucking puberty, you're saying?
Yes.
He was so cute.
Oh, look out. Go ahead, tell him some more. Tell him some
hey,
more.
You had, you had so many girlfriends.
I did?
You did.
Could you tell me some?
No, it's funny because I can't remember their names.
That's a funny thing. I can't either.
Well,
Donnie, were you taking some date rape drugs or something? So that's why you can't remember. You were putting them in the wrong drink.
I was hoping she could tell me. There's got to be some. I was so damn cute. I had to have some girlfriends. I think you're telling a lie, but thank you very much for my ego.
No, you were cute.
Then why didn't we hook up?
I don't know.
You weren't her type.
Probably not. That's true.
Because she was smart.
That's another. That's another.
We were good friends.
Yeah, but there's friends with benefits, you know.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it was to her benefit just to be friends.
Smart ass. Okay. Let's go back to politics. How's that? How about that? Donnie. Bring It Boy says, Donnie was a player in the chat room. No, I wasn't a player. Jeannie's just being very nice. Being very nice. I didn't have a girlfriend. Nobody want. I had pimples, craters in my face because I had some kind of disease or something when I was a kid. There. And I had blonde hair.
You did?
No. But, you know, if I'm going to lie, I might as well.
I don't remember blonde hair, and I don't remember craters in your face, but... We all had acne. We were teenagers.
Dick Clark said, get Clearasil, and that's what I did. Covered them boys up. Pimple City. Got a lot of people in the sports world. If you'd like to join us, push one on your keypad, and I'd be glad to get you on. And we'll get back to talking about politics after.
I sprayed you away. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
It's all good.
You stay right where you're at. You just don't go nowhere. We're just and jump
you
in.
Had,
if you got something to say,
Dick
jump
Clark,
in. What's that?
Dick Clark, Ed Sullivan, and Mr. Rogers.
You might have watched Mr. Rogers, but I sure as hell didn't.
I didn't sorry. Watch Mr. Rogers until I had a grandson.
Well. Damn.
It's howdy doody time. It's howdy doody time.
I wasn't that
I
old. I wasn't that old that I can remember that. I do remember howdy doody, but it must have been when I was in my mom's womb. But
oh, come
I don't
on.
I don't remember watching Howdy. I didn't like silly, dumb shows, even when I was a kid.
Little Rascals?
Wilbur.
You had to have liked Little Rascals.
Yeah.
You were the Little Rascals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we only got three channels.
Well, that's true. That is true. And that's what's wrong with our
kids. You know, if you fine-tune that UHF thing, you could get maybe one more. With the foil and, you know, and everything going on, too.
Well, yeah, we could.
You might be able to get one more.
We thought we were a big shot. I remember in 1968, we got our first color TV. It's the only reason I remember is my dad thought he won a bet. He took St. Louis over the Tigers, and they were leading 3-1. The guy paid my dad off. So my dad took that money and bought a color TV. So when you have a color half TV, you got to have an antenna that you can turn this dial, and it turns the antenna, right? Well, he still only had three channels, but it looked cool on the side of the house. So we got it all. And then the Tigers come back and beat him, and he was freaking pissed. Oh, man.
Well, yeah,
but
one time,
I have to see two of the Tiger games in color. Awesome. That's how we got our color TV in 1968.
Well,
We
were the remote.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true, too.
The remote. You were the antenna, too, sometimes.
I was the remote growing up for my older sister. I was the remote. My sister would call me from my bedroom upstairs to come downstairs and change the channel for her.
Oh, good Lord.
Bring it boy wants to say, how about the days waiting for Moses to come down off the mountain? Thank you, Bring it boy. But I'm not quite that old. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're younger than I am.
Well,
I believe.
Just a year.
Yep.
See, you could have had a young guy. You could have been a cougar. That could have been your pigeon. True. Michigan is beating Michigan State 42-0. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Alabama will beat Tennessee 34-20. Or 30. Was it 34-20? I think so, yeah. Yeah, 34-20.
Well, it's a good thing my grandson's at the homecoming dance. He can't be watching the football game.
Yeah, it's homecoming everywhere.
Yep.
Pretty much. Okay. You know what? If you've been listening, Jeannie, you know what we talk about. You can talk about anything you want to talk about. Just bring it up. Just jump on in.
I'm not.
Oh, you never have been.
No. Why start now?
Yeah, I remember.
That's why she was tattling on you.
Well, yeah, he probably is.
I didn't have any.
Okay.
I like to think I had all those girlfriends, Jeannie. I remember,
you did. But I must say, if I remember right, you only had one at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was a little gentleman?
He was
yes.
a gentleman. He was a very nice gentleman.
Yeah. Don't forget that when you're telling all these lies. Don't stop. Don't stop. keep it going with all these girlfriends I had. My wife would love to hear about that because I think she's going to be on here in a minute.
Now, after I got married and we lost contact for a while, I don't know, but he was a gentleman as teenagers.
See?
Well, usually they don't outgrow that.
Not usually.
And I haven't.
That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay, we are in, how many wars are we in? one, two.
Too many.
Proxy war. Yeah. Two proxy wars. What are we doing? It's where Sarge at tonight. We need Sarge. Bianchi and Sarge are going. Tell us what the hell's going on.
Bianchi's in Sarge.
Yeah,
like
he was on Robert's show last night.
What? You know, I got the email for that show, and it was, I got it at 11:30. Then I got an email, Lorianne, for your show, and I got it yesterday at 7:30, and it says it's coming on. Then I got another email saying it was on, so I clicked on it. You weren't on. Were you on Thursday night at all?
No, I set up my episode for Sunday, and I didn't realize that I hadn't selected Sunday's date, you know, so it was for Thursday. And then I got the email notification of, you know, episode reminder for my own show, and I'm like, what? And so I had to go back in there and change it. So that's what happened.
Okay, I got you now. Let me get, I think this might be Sarge. Sarge, is that you? Don't be shy.
I'm sorry. I always keep myself on mute. I try to anyone when I'm not talking. Asking, you shall receive. How you doing, Johnny?
Pretty
good.
Sir.
Laurie, Gene, the new person. All the other folks out there, listen.
Sorry,
how are you?
I'm all right. What I am I'm really, you know, Schadenfreude is a beautiful thing when you deserve it, and we deserve to have our moments of Schadenfreude, watching these people, not saying anything in the wake of their now all but completely proven lies about the so-called bomb that killed 500 people in the Gaza Strip. In the hospital. So actually, the hospital parking lot that might have killed between 15 and 50 people, we're not sure, which is not nothing, don't get me wrong. 50 dead people ain't nothing, but it's a far cry. In fact, it's only 10% of 500.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if anybody on MSNBC even apologized for saying. And some of our
are the ones who really look stupid.
And Rasheed, she is still Tlaib is still saying the same thing. Still saying
it. She didn't take it down a tweet anyway. She's not saying anything. She's gone into hiding like all these fools do, rather than stand by what they say. When I make a mistake on something, I have no problem admitting I made a mistake and this is where it was wrong and this is why it was wrong. I've done it many times because I'm not doing it to deceive anybody. I just made an honest mistake, either made a factual error or I confused it with something else or I was just simply wrong in my analysis. I don't mind telling people how wrong I was about the 2020 election where Donald Trump was going to win in a landslide victory. But now I can explain to him why I was wrong. You know, I mean, I got no problem, but these people are dishonest. They are deceptive. They have no character. They have no integrity. I mean, they're just the most god-awful. And the only word to describe them is cacistocracy. It fits these people. It is a perfect word for the bunch that's governing us now. It's an absolute cacistocracy. You know, I just saw this movie today. It was a remake of an old movie starring Paul Scofield, who came out in 1966, Man for All Seasons, you know, about Sir Thomas More. And Colin Hess did another made-for-TV remake on it. Well, I thought it was actually better in many ways, starred Colin Hess. And the reason why I think it's relevant today, even though it happened in the 16th century, because Thomas More was a man of the law. And he was one of the most respected legal minds of his time. He became Chancellor of England. And he knew that he was a devout Catholic. I mean, absolutely down the line, devout Catholic. And he was able to always keep his secular duties as a legal person separate from his religious beliefs. And when Henry VIII wanted to get a divorce from Catherine of Aragon, and then he went and divorced England from the Catholic Church in Rome and created the Church of England. He knew that this was problematic for both his belief in the law and for his belief in his religious faith. And rather than compromise his integrity and his principles and everything else that had to do with what he believed, he chose death. He chose to let them execute him rather than do something that would violate his conscience. And also his right to not incriminate himself by saying something that they were trying to force him into saying. And I'm just thinking to myself, we just don't have that many people these days with that kind of integrity. Rightly or wrongly, I mean, they just are completely lacking in all character. They have no, they have nothing there but a will to power. That's the only thing that motivates them. It's disgusting.
Yeah, we've got to stop these politicians. Now, well, here's what I want to know. We got people in prison for over 20 years that did nothing in our capital. I want to know about that whole group that busted in. And, I don't know what the hell they were chanting or singing or whatever the hell they were doing, but they should be charged, too, like January 6th, right? Shouldn't they be charged?
You mean
yeah,
the ones
I heard that there was like 300 people arrested. Yeah.
Well, oh, did they get
should
that
be.
Many? Well, they should.
Well, there was
do you mean
people
the
were arrested because they were protesting pro Hamas.
Oh yeah,
right.
yeah.
There was somebody that was just recently convicted though for January 6th, but only got a couple few months. Who was that? I was so pissed. I'm like, and there's people. And he was one of the ones that, was helping, like, escalate it.
Oh, I
well,
don't know.
Here. They got this one guy, a guy's name is Samuel Lazar. It appears, and I'm not absolutely sure about this, but based on everything I was able to read about it, it appears he was convicted and sentenced in secret. That's supposed to be impossible to happen in our judicial system, but apparently he was. He got arrested in July 2021 on charges he came to the Capitol on January 6th. He was dressed in tactical gear and protective goggles. They said he used chemical spray on officers who were trying to, you know, control the riot.
Right.
And there's no public record of a conviction or a sentence in his court docket. And people have been asking about his case for months, but the details of his conviction and sentence have not been reported. And the Justice Department is refusing to say why this case is under wraps, and Lazar's attorneys didn't respond for comments, but it appears he's been convicted and sentenced in secret. This is not supposed to happen in the United States. Somebody ought to file an FOIA request to find out why.
Yeah, I never heard of
that.
We don't
have secret trials in the United States. That is supposed to be forbidden under the Eighth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment.
Well,
there's so much funky with January 6th. You got to say to yourself that this had to be these people using this for our Reichstag fire moment. Honestly.
All right. I still want to know who laid the bombs down, the two bombs. I mean, they know.
They should be able to tell that.
Yeah, they know.
Well,
they know
how about the guy?
Went because they have his pings on his phone. They know exactly who this guy is.
Well, how about the guy named Jake Lang who's been in the joint for 1,000 days without a trial yet?
Without a trial.
He's been in the joint for 1,000 days. He still ain't got a trial date yet.
Yeah, and I thought that was against the Constitution.
Well,
everything he's doing is so wrong for these trials.
Yeah, what happened to the trial?
Yeah.
Where's his lawyers? I mean, there's so much to this that just stinks to high heaven. This is what happens when this cacistocracy feels threatened, and what they do is they just pull out all the stops, disregard the rule of law, and they do whatever needs to be done in order to secure their position and their safety and their freedom from scrutiny. And that's exactly what they're doing now. We're not living under a rule of law. while these people do what they do. We're just not. And, you know, it's like, this is, remember I just referred to you a moment ago about A Man for All Seasons. There's this one scene in there, given what they're doing to January 6th and doing to Donald Trump, that is so appropriate. As I watched it today, it immediately brought to mind what they're doing to January 6th riots, what they're doing to Donald Trump. Now, this Morris talking to his future son-in-law, a guy named Roper. He wants to marry, he's marrying his daughter. And Moore didn't want him to marry his daughter because he said he was a heretic because he was a Lutheran. And he's a devout Catholic. And, you know, this is a time during the Reformation and all that, and there's all this, you know. Anyway, he eventually gave in. He got to like Roper, so he gave his consent to allow him to marry his daughter. But there's this one great scene where his son-in-law is saying that Moore, who was still Chancellor of England, this is before he resigned from being a chancellor when the bishops folded to the king and agreed to assent, give their assent to his divorce from Catherine of Aragon. And he said the day they did that, he was going to resign, and he did. But his son-in-law was urging him to arrest a man who he knew one day would turn on him and purge him. He said, just make up something and arrest him. And Moore responds like this. What would you do? Cut a great road through the law to get after the devil? And when the last law was down and the devil turned around on you, where would you hide, Roper? The law's all being flat. This country is planted thick with laws from coast to coast, man's laws, not God's. If you cut them down and you're just the man to do it, do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow then? Yes, I give the devil benefit of law for my own safety's sake. And I got to thinking to myself, man, see, this is what the rule of law is supposed to mean. You're not supposed to say a class of people are exempt from the rule of law because we have deemed them to be beyond its protection. And that's what's going on today, wherever you look. That Derek Chauvin, hey, murdered a man right in front of eyes. The red eyes, he murdered him, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, does he get the normal protection of the rule of law? No, because this was so heinous. Well, we had to set aside the normal rules. You know, like the autopsy that said there were no injuries consistent with what he's being accused of. I'm just saying, man, we got to get Trump back in there. I'm not saying because Trump is so great. I do think he was a great president. But, you know, I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker. I'm just saying, right, he's got a personal reason to go after all of this lawlessness.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason to get him back in it. Not only does he have a principal reason to do it, he's got a personal reason to do it. I think if anybody is going to do it, he is the one most likely to say, well, we don't need to let bygones be bygones. Who needs to go after Hillary Clinton after all? All she did was violate the Espionage Act, and we don't charge anybody for violating the Espionage Act anyway. All lang syne, let old acquaintance be forgotten. We need to stop this. That's got to stop.
That's right.
We hold people to the law for the law's sake. They're not holding people to the law right now, and that's why we've got anarchy, chaos, and murderousness running rampant in all the blue cities of the United States.
Yeah, that's right.
Sarge, we have things screwed up from A to Z. And you know, you talk about these screwed up cities. It seems like the higher you go up in latitude, the worse off they are. Oregon, Michigan. Hey, look at Canada. Something's going on, man. Donnie, where is Daniel and Cassie? Maybe they can explain this phenomenon we are witnessing.
Cassie might be listening.
Lord, somebody just make it stop. Somebody, please, Lord. Lord, that's who needs to make it stop. The Lord himself.
Yeah.
By the way, Pat, did you see Vince Ellison today in that episode number 32 of Texas Gossip?
Yeah, he played earlier when we started the show. Donnie, you want to play it again?
Oh, Donnie played? Oh, I didn't know Donnie played it because I've seen it. You have to play it for me. If you want to play it again, be my guest because I love the way you laid that down, man. I love
here
it.
Here we go. Going right now. Come on now. Start playing.
Come on, Brother Vince.
Yeah.
Now that we know that it was not, in fact, a pandemic of the unvaccinated, now that we know that Ukraine is not actually winning the war against Russia, it could be time to revisit some of the other slogans we've been assured are true and ordered to repeat. Are they, in fact, true? Did, for example, a racist white cop actually murder a man called George Floyd, a civil rights leader, in Minneapolis on Memorial Day of 2020? Now, we've been told that that happened, told it relentlessly for more than 3 years. So at this point, we've been told it so much that pretty much everybody seems to believe it. And because everyone does kind of believe it, a small group of people has been allowed to make massive changes to American society. They include, but are not limited to, decriminalizing stealing, defunding the police, adding a new federal holiday to the calendar called Juneteenth, the ceasing of hiring all white men in corporate America, and of course, significantly, they also sent a cop called Derek Chauvin to prison for more than 40 years. He would be the racist white devil who murdered George Floyd. But the question is, did he actually murder George Floyd? And the answer is, well, no, he didn't murder George Floyd. And we're not guessing about that. We know it conclusively, thanks to a new court case now underway in Hennepin County, Minnesota. The case was brought by a prosecutor there called Amy Sweezy. She's suing her boss. So the case is not actually about George Floyd or Derek Chauvin, but it tells you an awful lot about both of them. In her deposition, which you should read, Amy Sweezy describes a conversation that she had with the county medical examiner, Andrew Baker, right after George Floyd died. I called Dr. Baker early that morning to tell him about the case and to ask him if he would perform the autopsy on Mr. Floyd. Sweezy recalls all this under oath in the deposition. Quote, he called me later in the day on that Tuesday, and he told me that there were no medical findings that showed any injury to the vital structures of Mr. Floyd's neck. There were no medical indications of asphyxia or strangulation. Oh. In other words, George Floyd, according to the official autopsy, was not murdered. He died instead of what we used to call natural causes, which in his case would include decades of drug use, as well as the fatal concentration of fentanyl that was in his system on his final day. So this was not a killing. It was yet another narcotics OD in a country that courts more than 100,000 of them every year. The medical examiner clearly understood that and, in fact, articulated it. And Sweezy explains. He said to me, she recalls in the deposition, Amy, what happens when the actual evidence doesn't match up with the public narrative that everyone's already decided on? And then he said, quote, this is the kind of case that ends careers. In other words, everyone lied about it from the very beginning. The people who knew the truth hid the truth and allowed the revolution to proceed. Now they've been exposed. Now we know the truth. What happens next? Well, they're going to ignore it. The Biden administration just issued a long purple statement celebrating George Floyd's birthday. He's a martyr, despite the fact we know that he was not murdered. And by the way, Derek Chauvin is still languishing in jail for the rest of his life. So how do we respond to this? How do we respond to the truth once we have it? Well, Vince Everett Ellison seemed like a good man to ask. He's the author of Crime, Inc. He joins us now. Vince, thanks so much for coming on. So as with so many other stories, the origin of COVID, it's a blessing to have you. We now know what actually happened, but the question then is, what do you do with that knowledge? We know that the U.S. government, Tony Fauci, worked with the Chinese to create the virus that overturned the American economy, but like, what do we do with that knowledge? What do we do with the knowledge that George Floyd was not actually strangled to death by a cop?
We have to acknowledge the people that gave it to us and why. See, George Floyd is the Democratic Party's prototypical black man. These are the black men they are trying to create. So George Floyd has to be elevated. He has to be celebrated. He's perfect to them. He was poor. He was uneducated. He was a drug addict. He didn't have a job. He was down there begging and crying and asking the white people to not kill him. To a white Democrat, this is the perfect black man. So he has to be elevated. Look, a few days ago, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden celebrated hip-hop music. They had a celebration of hip-hop.
Hip-hop culture is America's culture. It is a genre. It is music and melody and rhyme. And hip-hop is also an ethos.
a music genre that calls the black man the N-word, calls women the W-word and the B-word, talks about misogyny, shooting police, smoking dope, selling dope, fighting, killing, acting a fool. They celebrated this genre. Why? Because this is how they see black America. They see us the same way they see George Floyd. And they have to make more of us because everywhere they rule, you know, John F. Kennedy stood in front of the Berlin Wall in the 60s and said, if you think that communism is great, let them come to Berlin. Well, if you think that the Democratic Party is great, let them come to Detroit. Let them come to Chicago. Let them come to St. Louis. Let them come to L.A., Portland, Seattle, Memphis. Anywhere where they rule, you'll see George Floyd all over the place. And they're proud of them. In Baltimore, Maryland, they spend $21,000 per child for every child up there inside the school district. Not one school is proficient in math, science, or reading. But they keep it going every year. Why? Because they're producing George Floyd.
But
and George Floyd votes for the Democratic Party.
But why would – so when most of us, you, me, I think all normal people look at George Floyd's life, you think this is a disaster. This guy never added anything. He took a lot in prison at least 8 times. I mean, his life was a tragedy at best. Why would you want more people like that?
Because he votes for the Democrat Party. And then he teaches his children to vote for the Democrat Party. And then these white Democrats can feel superior to him. Yeah. He can be controlled by them. Just like, think about an old slave plantation, Tucker, back in the day, how they wanted their slaves to act. Subservient. Obedient, ignorant, you know, doing what he was told, not asking any questions, having a slave mind, being dependent on them. This is how they want black men to be in America. This is how they want the whole black community to be. This is why it started in the Civil Rights Movement. When Martin Luther King Jr. in his I Have a Green speech said, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. He said 5 times in that speech that we were not free. It turned the Declaration of Independence on its head because in our Declaration of Independence, it said that our freedom was an unalienable right given us by God. John Locke in his Second Treatise of Government said that an unalienable right is a right given from God. It is irrevocable, non-transferable, and unsellable. The government cannot touch it. It supersedes law. It supersedes the Constitution. However, King said that we was coming to government and to the white man for our right to be free. Even at the end of the speech, he said, on some certain day, we'll be free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. He said in that speech, when will we be satisfied? He said, we will never be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. That's a fancy way of saying never. And so black people heard that speech and said that we were not free in America. And we make our children recite that speech every single year on King's birthday. And they say in that speech, the Negro is still not free. George Floyd was a slave in his mind. And the Civil Rights Movement caused him to be a slave in his mind. And today they're still marching 60 years later, telling black people, you're not free. Beg for reparations. Beg for affirmative action. Kill your children in the womb. Cut off your child. You castrate your children. Let drag queens come into school and shake their behinds in your children's faces. Run God out of the public square. And then they end up like George Floyd. But the one thing they do consistently is they vote for the Democrat Party, and the places where George Floyd's live, they stay in absolute power.
That's a pretty dark explanation. So you're saying that the Democratic Party as an organization intentionally degrades black people to keep them compliant and obedient.
Oh, yes. In my book, Crime, Inc., I talk about one of the main things they do, like the mafia and organized crime. They humiliate black people. They demoralize them. It's a Marxist construct. They demoralize their people. They beat them down. They tell them that they're victims. Well, it was Martin Luther King Jr. that said, they tell you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, how can you pull yourself up by your bootstraps when you're bootless? You know, he told us we were bootless. You know, you have black preachers, and you've heard, you know about my Iron Triangle, the black preacher, the black politician, the black civil rights worker. They go into the black community consistently. You're a victim. You're oppressed. The country hates you. Well, see, I look at them and I say, I'm a black man, but I cannot be oppressed. You know why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. I cannot be a victim. Why? Because I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I cannot be a victim. See, they tell these people go against their religion and their basic ideology because most black men say they're Christians, right? But then they walk around saying, I'm oppressed. I'm a victim. I'm afraid. 365 times in our Bible, they tell us to fear not. Yet they walk around saying they're afraid in the United States of America. LeBron James said he's afraid. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said he's afraid. Kaepernick said he's afraid. Well, I'm a black man in America, and I'm not afraid of a damn thing. I don't ask for permission in my own house. America is my home. So as they walk around here crying, talking about I'm frightened, I'm afraid, I can't make it, please help me, I tell them they stink in my nostrils. They're an affront to God. The flip side of white male intimidation during the civil rights was also black male cowardice. They laid down and let them beat them, slap them around, rape their wives and their children. Well, no, not me, never me. I'm a free man. I live in the United States of America. They say it's an honor to be, that there's white supremacy and that white people have some type of privilege. Well, as I said before, it is a privilege to be white, but it's also a privilege to be black, and it's a privilege to be an American, and it's really a privilege to be a Christian in the United States of America, the greatest country on the face of this earth. And they're not going to make a George Floyd out of me. I stand up strong. I look them in the eye, and I say, I'm a free man. My freedom comes from God. It's an unalienable right given to me by him. You cannot touch it, and if you try it, I got two things that'll get you off of me, Jesus and my 38. Come try me out.
So the Democratic Party used BLM as a domestic militia in the last presidential cycle, 2020, to defeat Donald Trump. Do you expect something like that to happen again?
Well, you see how they use the same tactics as Iran. Iran has Hezbollah and Hamas as their militias. And the Democratic Party uses BLM and Antifa as theirs, throwing the rock and hiding the hand. Of course they're going to do it. They've always done it. Even at the beginning, they used the Ku Klux Klan for the military reign. Now they're using BLM. They're using Antifa. They're using NAACP. And they're their suicide bombers. They're their shock troops. They're their brown shirts. They're their street soldiers. And they're going to go out there, and I guarantee you, Tucker, they're going to look over all the black-on-black violence. They're going to look over all the black men killing black men. They're going to look over all the snatching grabs and all the burning and all the fighting and looting and acting a fool. And they're going to find one crazy white cop that's going to do something to some crazy black man, and then they're going to try to burn this country down for it. That's their plan. That's their template. I hope America's ready for it because it's coming. And it always works for them. It always works because they're on the starting line just waiting for it. And as soon as they find that golden teal, watch them go crazy with it. BLM is going to start.
What happened?
Getting that money from the Democrat Party because that's who they get it from. The same way that Hamas gets their money from Iran, the BLM gets their money from the Democrat Party. And BLM, Lives Matter. It stands for burn, loot, and murder. And that's what we should call them from now on.
Burn,
Vince
loot.
Vince Everett Ellison, Bible in the 38. It's great to see you today. Thank you.
That's awesome. That is freaking
did you like that, Donnie? Donnie, did you like that? Well, Donnie, let me tell you something. If you like that, I got a videotape by Vince Ellison. It's called Will You Go to Hell for Me? It's on DVD. You can get it. You get it on the web. Just type in Will You Go to Hell for Me by Vince Ellison. You'll see where you can find it and get it for yourself. He's just that way in this videotape. He also wrote a book. I got that book, too. And he talked about liberalism and Democrats and what it's done to black people. What you saw and then Tucker Carlson, you see the same thing in that book. He writes that way in the book, and he's that way in that DVD.
Oh, man, I'm going to get that.
I think he's awesome. I just love Vince Ellison, man. I do.
Yeah.
And you know another thing he said? Another thing we need to discuss, and this is probably the most difficult to get across, since a man, after all, has been elevated to sainthood. Not that Martin Luther King was necessarily a bad man, because I don't necessarily believe that. I do believe, though, that much of his influence on the civil rights movement has been very unfortunate and baleful. I think it steered the black community toward a tendency to be too dependent upon government and upon big government social solutions for the problems that are largely cultural in the black community. And that's something that is not often examined, because all you're supposed to talk about with reference to Martin Luther King is hagiography. You're not supposed to do an honest analysis, had you would, of any great but flawed leader. And we can't do that because we hate honesty these days. We just hate it. But it needs to be done. There needs to be a deep, reflective examination of the effects of Martin Luther King's alliance with and his influence by socialists and even communists, even though he himself was not, I repeat, and he could not embrace that atheism. But many other aspects of socialism and communism he was perfectly comfortable with and even extolled. We need to examine that because it casts a long shadow on today's civil rights movement. We need to really look into that so we can, because you can't understand where you are until you go back and look where you've been. And I think it's one of the things we got to do.
I agree. Now, what do we do with Chauvin? Is that his name, Chauvin? That's in
Derek
prison.
Chauvin.
Yeah. For 40 years, he's in prison, basically the rest of his life. Now, what do we do? And then, what do we do for him, and what are we going to do for the folks that hid this mess?
Well, any appeals court obviously cannot overrule a sentence, at least not a federal Supreme Court. That would have
can't
to be done at the state level. But they could certainly send it back for reconsideration in a new trial.
Can you request a new trial?
Yeah,
request a new trial?
Yeah, they can't overturn his conviction, but they can certainly remand it back to the courts of jurisdiction for a new trial. And depending upon the state, state courts can overturn a state conviction. So I think that's what needs to be done. There needs to be appeals going up on that man's behalf in order to get this case either clemency, commutation, or consideration for a new trial.
He's got a stigma the rest of his life, and he's going to have this, he's going to have it over his head the rest of his life.
But he won't have to worry about working, because I'd be suing the hell out of everybody and every
Everybody concealed, the exculpatory evidence. Then somebody ought to be going to jail over that if they did it deliberately and knowingly. That is a crime. I mean, that is a Brady defense. You know, the Brady issue. Brady is the thing that says the prosecution at every level is obligated to turn over all exculpatory evidence that could lead to the innocence of a defendant. Whether they like it or not, they're supposed to reveal it to the defense. That's a Brady issue. Supreme Court ruled on that long ago.
They just let a man out of prison that was in jail for 24 years, earlier in a week or last week, 24 years. Because the prosecutor hid evidence and never turned it over, and they somehow started, they got to these organizations of lawyers. They look at cold cases, and if they believe the person, they dig into it. Well, they dug into this. It took 2 years, but they got this guy released. And he's already kind of, he already said, I'm filing. I'm too old to work. I'm too old to learn anything now at my age. But I think the state, I forgot what state was, Colorado, I think. Colorado is going to pay me a lot of money so I don't have to worry about working. So that'll help.
The Innocence Project is what you're talking about, going into cold cases.
Now, see, qualified immunity is supposed to protect officials against official acts that, result from a at least not a willful malfeasance of their duties. Now, if it results in something unfortunate, like an innocent man getting sent to jail, but they did everything pretty much according to the book and according to the law, then that's what qualified immunity is meant to protect you from. Not when you go willfully with an intention to obstruct someone's civil rights you should not be protected, at least personally, from qualified immunity.
I don't think these people will be immune. I think, I mean, they woefully hid this because, you know, they knew what would happen.
Well,
it was already going on.
They were afraid of the heat. They were gutless. They didn't have the guts to do their duty.
Yep.
Duty's hard, man. You ain't supposed to take jobs like police officer, soldier, a public official, mayor, governor, unless you're going to have the guts to stand up for what you got to do. A lot of times people are going to hate you for doing the things that the law requires you to do or your oath of office requires you to do. They're going to hate your guts. There ain't no getting around it. But that's part of what we signed up for. At least if you're not willing to do it, you shouldn't have got the job in the first damn place. This is a case where people were afraid to buck the tide. The tide said the rioters, the brown shirts, the Red Guard out in the street, the woke Maoists, they were out there telling there will be blood if you don't do what we say.
Yeah, and there was blood anyway. After that, it didn't
stop.
You're
damn right.
It did not stop.
These people aren't honest brokers. They're Marxist thugs.
Right.
There's no peace with them.
And Portland.
You stand up and do the right thing. Let the devil take the hindmost. If it comes to a fight, then fight.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and cow over it, because you're going to get it anyway from these people.
You got Portland, gave them a whole street. This is yours. It's the summer of love. That's what the mayor said, right? Wasn't that Portland?
I'm telling you, if I had to continually police the way these people expect police officers to police nowadays, I'd have quit in a heartbeat and gone back to fixing cars.
Well,
I could not do it. I would get in trouble, or something would happen to me. I'd have to leave this job. I got to go. I can't do this more and turn my back on things I know I'm not supposed to turn my back on. I could not stay on it. If it would have been like this when I was still working, I could not have continued to be a police officer.
Well, I tell you,
not look myself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Not to look at myself in the mirror.
Right, that's what's happening in New York City. They had a cop; he was in uniform, but they, you know, hid his appearance so you didn't know who it was. He said, "We decided as a group, that we'll come to each other's rescue. But if it comes to arresting somebody and it's in a dangerous situation, they're just going to walk away." Because the prosecutor will not do anything. And the guy was pissed. He said, I'm a Democrat, and I didn't vote for Donald Trump. But they put more money into trying to put him in jail for nothing. And they let these maniacs out here, he brought up the guy shot sitting in her patrol car. He said, they let that slide by, and I don't even think they investigate that anymore, because
Donnie,
what's the sense of it?
Donnie, we had a saying for that in Chicago. When stuff like that happened, police officers said they weren't going to be doing things because of the heat they'll get from both ends of the street, from the bottom end with the criminals and the upper end with their bosses. We're going to go fetal. That's what they call it. They call it going fetal. That means you go take your squad car. You go pull up under a viaduct or a railroad underpass somewhere, some good hiding spot in there is, and you just stay off the air unless you get a radio call directing you to go somewhere. You don't take any initiative. You don't take any action on your own. You just go fetal unless you're called or something.
And that's what
more cops are doing. They're going fetal.
Yeah. There was I don't know if you ever heard of Charlie LaDuff. He's one of whatever the hell. Pulitzer Prize and everything in Detroit, and he's an undercover reporter, and he was with a lady and her two kids in Detroit. She was broken in middle of the day. He sat on the porch. She called the police. He sat on the porch with her. They even ate dinner together, and late at night, the police still haven't came. Did not come at all. And the next day, they called. They called and gave her a number. You know, this is your number. We've got you down. So if you're missing anything, give your insurance company this number. And they Now go from
there.
So
admittedly, that is an extreme example of it. We would answer radio calls, but as far as self-initiated incidents, no, that pretty much would go out the window when cops were saying they're going fetal.
Well, I don't.
They wouldn't initiate. They wouldn't do no traffic stops. They wouldn't do no Terry stops. They wouldn't get out the car, walk around, and talk to people. They just stay away from everything altogether. That's what they meant by going fetal. I was beginning to see inklings of it among a lot of Chicago coppers very late, like maybe the last year or when I was on a job. But now it's full blown. I mean, it's just, that's why so many cities are so ungoverned. Police are not doing the kind of things that would tamp this down before it happened. See, they would give. See, look, it's a myth that police can protect you from all crime. There's no possible way, given the paucity of police officers. Because I think the ratio of police officers something like one for every 100,000 people in the United States.
That's crazy.
Some tens of thousands. One officer, and that's if they were all on duty at the same time, which they can't be because, you know, they're off on shift, they're on vacation, they're sick or something like that. But they could give the impression that they could, and that's what's most important. The cops need to be able to give the impression they can catch you at any time. That's what their strongest suit is. That's what Mayor Giuliani did in New York. He gave New Yorkers the most difficult the police city in the world at the time, that the police could catch every single murderer and every single armed robber and rapist and burglar in town. They gave the impression that they could, and the city responded accordingly. Now, the police are told they can't do anything. They're working on behalf of a racist system that discriminates against people of color by its very nature. The objective application of law is an act of racism and white supremacy. That's why we're seeing the chaos we're seeing today. Criminals take advantage of being criminals everywhere, of every color. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that is.
I don't know what's going to take to get it back. It's going to take, with this present bunch, for the most part, they're incapable of doing. They're capable of even framing the problem. They can't even frame it, much less do anything about it. And in many cases, they do the very things to make it worse. Brandon Johnson is a perfect example of a mayor who makes the problem worse because he's essentially a Marxist.
He's made it worse.
Definitely. And it's typical of many of the mayors in these big cities.
Oh, man.
Well, I tell you what, they want these blacks to kill each other in cities like Chicago. And it ain't whites, it's the blacks themselves and leadership. It's got to be. There's no way in the world that you have some 3,000. No, in 2019 you had 4,875 shots with 745 murders. Not one white police officer lifted gun. Next year you have close to 3,800 shots and about another 661 murders. Same circumstances. No white police shot no one. Matter of fact, that dumb Lori Lightfoot told the police, don't chase nobody, even on foot.
Yeah.
Sure
enough. Isn't that amazing?
Sure enough,
I'm not mistaken. She didn't want you to let the dogs loose on them.
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
No canine officers against people.
That's right. She retired those doggies. I tell you,
some of the most valuable instruments patrol officers have, man, is those canines.
Yeah. They are amazing. We had one of those dogs of Belgium Malinois. Holy moly.
Malinois are really, they're the aces of that sort of thing. But other dogs are good, too. And if they're well-trained, they're all very useful.
Yeah.
And then to take away that tool from a law enforcement officer, particularly in the case of looking for a fugitive that in an immediate situation where he's temporarily escaped the police, there's nothing better than a dog to go find, especially when you get out of a car and you put that dog in there and tell the dog to get the scent. If you cut that dog loose, go after that scent because you just ran away from it, that dog's going to track it. It's raining, he's going to track him. He's going to get it, too. He's going to go right to the scent. Oh, they're so good.
Oh, yeah. And don't, man, I tell you what. Yeah, I used to go to Chicago every year in the Peterson tournament. They had a bowling tournament, Peterson tournament. I used to stay Lakeshore Drive at the Holiday Inn, Lakeshore Drive. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's when the bar that I was in, it was called the Cellar. And there was three people in it and an old black guy playing the blues and singing. And it was just great as hell. And it was clean. The city was clean. Michigan Avenue, holy moly, man, it was clean. That's one thing I took from that every year. It was how clean Chicago was for a city.
Yeah,
that
Chicago, a magnificent mile. The Chicago's a magnificent mile was always immaculate. Always.
Yeah, I stayed in that Holiday Inn on Lakeshore.
Did you? I think they're talking about now, though. They're talking about a hotel on Lakeshore Drive that they're going to let these illegals get in and stay.
I forget what year it was. It had to be in the 70s.
Well.
Yeah,
City of Chicago don't belong to its legal residency anymore. Nowadays, it's a haven for illegals. They have first priority, first digs on all unoccupied space for now. But who knows? Maybe we have to come up with a new constitutional amendment to prevent the unlawful quartering of illegal aliens in your home, just like the Third Amendment, which is almost never mentioned anymore. You're going to have to come up with a new amendment to deal with illegal aliens, not just soldiers.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody
Damn.
Mentions the third. You don't let anybody ever mention the words the Third Amendment, do you? But we're going to have something comparable for illegal aliens. So just watch.
Damn.
We're going to be seizing property so they can house illegal aliens. We're going to have another amendment, 28th Amendment. Yeah, the 28th Amendment's got to be passed to address this sort of thing. And I already got I've been thinking about it, Donnie, and I got the wording already. I'm just going to take it right in the Third Amendment. No illegal alien shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. All I had to do is take out soldier and put in illegal aliens.
Yeah. That's right.
But then, see, the way they get around that sort of thing, they just declare illegal aliens to not be illegal aliens. They're undocumented. They're not illegal. They're undocumented.
Undocumented.
So I guess that would mean that they can take your house and put an undocumented alien in because the amendment says they got to be illegal. Yeah, I mean, this is what I mean. When I say sophistry of these goddamn leftists, this is what I mean. This is the way they play everything.
What if it just said non-citizen?
Well,
wouldn't that cover all aspects?
That might not be a good idea to say non-citizen because there might be a good reason to put a non-citizen in someone's home temporarily. Huh. But an illegal is a person that's illegal. No, there should be no. No acceptance of that whatsoever, any more than a soldier in quartered in your home.
Gotta think about that.
Because, I mean, a non-citizen might have to be there because, I don't know, they got some kind of expertise in looking for a nuclear weapon or something, and they got to put them in your home there because they got nowhere else to put them in at the moment. They got to do it for some particular reason. And they're called in from another country. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it should be an illegal alien. And we'll make it clear as to what an illegal is so they can't use some sophistry in order to bypass the word illegal alien.
Yeah.
How about any undocumented person?
That would sound better to me. That means you got to have a visa, a green card, or something. Undocumented. They call them undocumented because illegal aliens ain't got nothing to show they have a right to be in the country.
Right. Well, even like if the scenario you were given of a nuclear whatever, they would be a document of some sort.
Oh, no, they would be there. You know, I'm sorry, this obvious a person like that would be there at the behest of the United States government, and they'd be there to cooperate with whatever the United States government needs them help with. Just like
right,
when we send people overseas. Just like when we send people overseas. They would be members. Maybe they might be diplomats. They might be members of a foreign inspection team or something like that. But it's clear they're there at the behest of and the knowledge of and the vetting of the United States government.
Right.
So they wouldn't qualify as illegal aliens or undocumented any more than a person with a green card would.
Right. So maybe any undocumented person.
Yeah. We got to crack down on this, though. We just, look at an invasion. This passes by all over the country. He's talking about he got to protect other countries from invasion. And we got the biggest invasion in the world going on right now. It's right there on the southern border.
It's
amazing.
Well, it's not even just on the southern border now. I mean, they're shipping them all over the country. And you have no idea where they're shipping them to.
No, it's dead of night, so you can't even see it.
Right. And it's like, and a lot of them are military-age men. And I can't remember where I saw the video of the guy that was saying that he was supposed to get an apartment and wait for orders. He was supposed to get it and wait for orders. Now, what is that? That tells me that's an invasion.
It is an invasion. Paulina,
like I said, you got to laugh about it and keep them crying because, I mean, this great country being – It's like we're told we're being raped. We got to lay back and enjoy it.
You know, one thing when they talk about illegal aliens in our country and people raising hell out there in our space and everything, how about the money these people are each and every one of these people are costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just hundreds of thousands.
How much did they go to pay for that?
What's that?
How much of that money could go to pay our debt?
Well, how about Chicago? Let me play a little bit of this. Paulina sent this in, and she just sent it in, and I just seen it. So hang on.
We were going to have a shelter at this particular location.
Now, he's talking about a park that they use right now, these kids, and they have you know, karate. They use this park for all kinds of things for kids. Now they want to put all these illegals in this park. I don't know exactly what you're saying, but let me get to whoever's talking here.
The staff for Amundsen Park and the surrounding parks.
I'm the commander of the 25th District.
Now, what does that mean, commander of the 25th? They have many police stations?
There's like 25 police districts in the city of Chicago, and each district has got a commander. You know, it's like, you know, you break it up to make it more manageable in a big city. And they're responsible for specific sectors of the city. And they have different divisions within the district.
All right. That makes sense.
They're the white shirts, aren't they,
Yeah, he's a white shirt. He'd definitely be a white-shirted officer with the scrambled eggs on his visor.
Makes sense. Okay. Let me...
difficult situations that we've had in the city of Chicago. This past Friday, and so that I could chronologically let you know as far as what I have found out, this past Friday I spoke to the mayor's office, the mayor's deputy mayor, or the deputy chief of staff, who informed me Friday morning that we were going to have a shelter at this particular location.
Now, wherever they're at, it's packed.
Yeah.
Now,
you're gonna be allowed to speak. And
okay, I'm going to skip because here's a gentleman that one of the people that came to voice his concern.
Turn the mic on. Turn the mic on. Good evening, everyone. I'm showing you how disrespectful this is. On the 5 o'clock news, they projected that Michael should be here by Saturday. Welcome to the welcoming city. Well, I got to tell you, only certain areas are welcoming. That's us. They want us. They say they want to use this park, but let me tell you, LaSalle Street, Clark Street, all the office buildings, nobody wants to be in the loop anymore. They all want to move west because of new buildings with better amenities. Those buildings are empty right now with water, heat, and everything. But they don't want the migrants down there. We're not anti-migrants, but this is so disrespectful for them to just sit up here with this crap and we're supposed to listen to it. You know what? If you would had your right mind and see a crowd like this, you would say to yourself, they don't want it. But no, these politicians, they think that they can just do everything. And see, another thing is you all's representative, I can say what I want to say because I take nothing from them. I don't need nothing from them. Okay? They have disrespected us, our community. They're going to tell us to just shove it down our throats, and we're supposed to like it. Yeah, you all are sitting there. And another thing, they do not have a plan. As so many migrants come in, they say, let's take this. Let's take that. Now, you see a viable park here that's functioning well in a nice area. Say this was a bad area. They wouldn't be here. Okay? Another thing I want you to understand, how we support this park. This park needed air conditioners. You think we went to the park district? No, because we don't need them. We bought them to plant this whole park. They needed a stove and a refrigerator. We support. We did it, the Vitatory Council. They needed a microwave. We give Christmas parties, and I don't ask these politicians for a dime. And this place is, see, they don't like people like me because I'm not taking their crap. And all the, and Brandon Johnson and Mayor and Alderman Terry Farrell, they wear this hat, and that's there. And all this crap about I just got a notice today. Well, if they don't give you that much respect as Alderman, you don't need to be Alderman. Okay. So don't drink the Kool-Aid. There are ample places in this city that the migrants can help the health issue, the shots that they haven't had. They're going to set this city back a long ways with this crap that they're doing. Just throwing people in. They don't give a in New York, half the hospitals are full with migrants. They can't get away to... Now, I don't mind, and we're not anti-migrants, but it shouldn't be on our backs. All right, this is our part.
Mr. Glover, thank you so much for your time.
And I want to say something to you, all of you all. And when you leave here, stop depending on the politicians. And stop voting for the same people getting the same results.
That was Mr. Glover, by the way. I seen his tape. It is pretty damn good. But that's what's going on in Chicago and all over in our big cities. They're taking resources away from the communities that actually need it and giving it all to the illegals.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, something that never surfaced as this. I'd say this started happening under George Bush to a great extent, but even he wouldn't have allowed it to get this unregulated. He still would have been pro waves of aliens immigrating into the United States, but he at least would have had some sort of order about it. And it had gotten to high gear with Obama. They said about Obama was the deporter in chief. That's only because he hadn't restricted the Border Patrol and Customs the extent that Biden has. Other than that, his policies were tailor-made to allow it, and in fact, started the flood tide going. So between it was really after Bush, with Obama, and Biden has put everything in overdrive. There are two ways about that. Biden has really brought it in overdrive.
Obama had a policy for illegals. If you in the country,
100 miles plus 1 inch from the border, all active pursuit was stopped after you.
Yeah. And Biden is weakening that even further.
Yeah, you just have to put a toe across
yeah.
into the United States, and you're right there. They can't do a damn
yeah,
thing.
You don't have to come in at a legal port of entry anymore.
No.
So that's how they get around this, saying that, well, they're not undocumented. We know they just don't have to come through legal ports of entry as the law demands. This is why they ought to impeach this bastard just for that.
Damn.
The law says you come in the United States, it's got to be at a legal port of entry. And Trump added even more under control because Trump said, well, you got to make claims for asylum from outside the country.
They're taking the damn wire out of the river in Texas, as we know. They're taking that out. Texas put it right back. They doubled it. I haven't heard anything else about it. I don't know if you guys have. But if you have, I'd like to hear about it. Because I know they doubled it up. I don't know. I tell you what, I would love to see the price tag right now of how much money our tax dollars are going for these millions. They say 7 million. My backside. I bet it's
oh,
more
no,
like...
no, that's the minimum. Whenever they send numbers like that, they give you the minimum. The
yeah.
maximum
yeah.
might be as high as 30 million to 40 million.
Oh, absolutely.
Between, let's just say numbers are between 7 and 40 million. That's somewhere where the numbers actually are.
I believe it.
If you got
customer agents,
mm-hmm. if you got border agents down there cutting wire, Texas State Patrol need to lock them up and put them in a January 6th type facility. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing, opening up the state line to invaders.
I got to agree with you, Piagi. I think the state of Texas ought to force the issue and see what gets done. Probably a federal judge would order their release, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
The states need to force this issue. The federal government is lawless. I don't know if we have to obey a lawless government or behave lawlessly with regard to its own laws.
And doesn't Texas have a thing – now, I don't know. You and Bianchi probably know. Gene, you and Lori and Cinnamon might know. But don't they have in their constitution that the federal government come in and say, I don't know.
No, I'm telling you what it says. It's Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, or one of the two. And I'll tell you what it says. Let me get it for you and read it for you right here. Article 1, Section 10 says, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. That is what Governor Abbott is using right now to justify the actions he's taken on the border. That section, the third clause of Section 10, Article 1.
Well, then how
well,
can the
Katrina,
government – go ahead, Bianchi.
They can't. During Katrina, Louisiana governor, she's a female, I can't think of her name. She had
Blanco.
Blanco.
Catherine Blanco.
Bush wanted to send troops in, not troops, but he wanted to send the National Guard in, not the National Guard, FEMA. And he had to get permission from her. Federal government shouldn't be going into states unless they're invited.
That's right. And the same thing was true during January 6th. D.C. was considered to be in the city part of it, not the federal government part where the Capitol building is and the White House and all that, because that's federal property. But in the city part, they're considered to be an independent jurisdiction that is under the general principle of Article 4, and you can't just send federal troops in there without their permission, the permission of either the city council or the mayor. And they refuse to grant their assent. And people say, well, why did Trump just send the troops in? Because you would have said he was a dictator if he did. He didn't have the authority. They didn't give him permission, and the governments were still functioning. They were still in office watching it all happen on TV and not saying a damn thing about it. Why didn't Trump do something? Because he didn't have no authority to do it. Let them stew in their own juices. They're going to make it, and then they're going to try to blame him for it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? He offered the troops. He told me, I got the troops. If you want them, I'll send them for you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He said that.
You know what,
times.
Donnie?
What's that, sir?
Things must really be jacked up. You got two black men that's pro-state rights. Good God.
We're pro the Constitution. And the Constitution grants the states powers in most things that doesn't grant the federal government. And we're trying to restore that proper balance. Because that's the way it's best weighted heavily in favor of the states for most activities. The federal government is a contracted agent with the states. And these contractees have contracted to the federal government certain duties and powers. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The federal government these days, like it's the apex power to which the states have to give fealty.
On social media.
Damn. Mm-mm.
So we try to restore the balance. The federal government is not over the states like you hear uneducated and civics people say all the time. But the federal government's over the states. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We got to get that. If there's one pernicious notion we got to get out of people's heads, it's that one.
Oh, you're right. You are right. They think people do think federal government rules. Now, before we go on anyway, I got to play a little bit. It's 4 minutes, and I think you guys will like this because I heard it earlier. Somebody sent it to me, and I just got a message. Please play it before I fall asleep. So here we go.
This was posted on social media, and it reads like false statements that we've seen from Hamas and other groups who want to foment hate and death in the region. It reads like this. Israel just bombed the Baptist hospital building, killing 500 Palestinians, doctors, children's patients, just like that. That was within an hour or two of the bombing, before we knew anything, before any of us could have possibly had a secured briefing. Before we'd gotten an assessment from the President of the United States or any of our intelligence sources here, before we could go down to the skiff and actually understand the details, that statement was made. Now, you'd think that'd come from a member of Hamas, but it came from a member of our Congress. If that member of Congress wants to take responsibility for the protests that we now see in Beirut, good on you. In Jordan, in Amman, and in Egypt. This sort of leadership or failure of leadership has no place on Capitol Hill. Now I want to talk about why I think Hamas is evil and why Iran's a part of this and why this is not surprising that the very details of this attack took place. Earlier this year in February, a couple of years ago, I was in Israel and we went down to the Gaza Strip. We saw a tunnel head. We actually walked in to a tunnel that was discovered by the Israelis. We went to a Patriot battery or an Iron Dome battery that every day is prepared to shoot down missiles because it almost happens. Before this attack, it happens almost on a daily basis. I've literally been in Israel when I'm having lunch in northern Israel. This was near the Golan Heights, and I'm asking somebody to pass a plate of food. A bomb goes off. And the people living in this kibbutz did not even miss a beat. Every day they have to live with this stuff. So now down in Gaza, we see the trail, the tunnel system that's in Gaza. If you go north to the Lebanese border, you will see an entire network of tunnels that the Israelis identified just in time. It had been a project that was estimated to be 10 years in the making, funded by Iran. Hezbollah is in Lebanon. Hamas is down in Gaza Strip. They had developed these tunnel networks, and they were prepared to do the same thing in northern Israel that we saw in southern Israel over the past week and a half.
And they even want to design this to strike fear and terror in the Israeli people. They want them to think, they want their children to think that they're going to pop out of the ground and kidnap them and kill their parents. This is a part of the terror that they want the Israeli people to live in every single day. And the Iranians were absolutely responsible for funding Hamas to build that that tunnel network in northern Israel. And they do the same thing with Hamas in southern Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, first off, this has to end. Let's work with facts. And if Israel doesn't abide by the rules of war, then we should hold them accountable. But what we're finding out now from additional intelligence sources is that it does look, appear as though this was not an Israeli strike, that it was probably a failed missile launch from Hamas. We'll let the facts lead where they may, but here's what I do know. This congressional members and others, before they can actually stand up for the Palestinian people, who I believe the majority of whom are good people who want to live free and live in democracy, they have to recognize that Hamas is evil, every single one of them, from their leadership down to their rank and files, to the ones who flew the ultralights in, to the people who came out of the tunnels and murdered over 1,200 people. They have to be held accountable. Their funder has to be held accountable. Their strategists in Iran have to be held accountable. And we in the United States have to stand by Israel and by freedom-loving Palestinians and freedom-loving members of the Middle East. But we cannot let this go. We cannot let this evil go unchecked. And we have to stand by Israel, and we have to make sure that we do everything we can to educate the American people on the facts and disabuse them of any notion that this congressional member or anyone else has any place in communicating that misinformation to the American people and across the world. And the violence that can come from making people believe that, they have to own.
And that was Rashida Tlaib from Michigan. That
was her? What happened to her voice? God damn.
No, that was who wrote the email or the Twitter or whatever the hell they call it nowadays.
Well, you know, it would be nice if you could sit out on a sidewalk cafe in Detroit, Chicago, and eat a lunch without being, have your glasses shot out from under you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's where the problem is. We have problems in the United States. Bill Fudders, or we have problems in the United States that need to be taken care of. These blue cities are terrible, from the schools on down. Hell, you can't even trust an undertaker anymore. He puts your body out in the backyard before he gets to it and attends to it. And do we get oil from the Mideast anymore? So are the straight hormones valuable? I thought Joe Biden said we're going to get off of oil. All gasoline-powered engine vehicles are going to have to be banned.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
One thing I got to say about Tlaib and her, you know, stoking the fire and flame, a female synagogue leader in Detroit was stabbed on her doorstep this morning.
Beautiful. Isn't that – I'll tell you what. People read that crap and hear, listen to her screaming into a microphone, bawling her eyes out, crying for all the babies that are dead and all kinds of crap she was spilling. She and the squad, as they call themselves, they ought to be held accountable for the bullshit they put out there.
Well, I got to tell you, AOC backed off.
Oh, what do you mean? How would she do that? She had more gas?
She has gone radio silent.
Yeah, they don't ever apologize.
She will not say
they
anything.
They just shut up.
Yeah, but she wouldn't say anything against Hamas or Israel. She went radio silent. All this happened.
A person with character would admit to their wrong and explain why they were wrong. And then, you know, ask for some contrition. But no, these people are arrogant. They got caught in a lie, and I think the best thing for them to do is not admit any wrongdoing, not be contrite or apologetic. No.
If we just be quiet, the media will cover for us, and it'll all blow over. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's why the Congress people need to be paid by the state that they represent. Then the people can just cut their salary.
I like that, but they have to take an amendment. So we have to get an amendment for it. And all these blue states, they ain't going to like that. They wouldn't like
gonna
that.
We're going to have to do the road that the country is headed down fiscally, it's not going to last. Simple as that. It's
no
not going to last.
That. No doubt about
these
that.
These people, once they get, they have these ambitions to get up there to the big house and get that salary, the pension after two terms or three terms, get to go to Walter Reed Hospital.
And don't they get to send
trip.
Kids to college? Don't we have to pay for the kids to go to college?
No, you don't. Then you got, you got your nieces and nephews all throughout the State Department and other agencies because they have to be recommended by a congressperson. That's nepotism all throughout.
I was going to say, it'd be like Maxine Waters' daughter making a ton of money.
Make over $250,000 opening envelopes.
Oh, man.
So now let the states pay them. Let them be paid by each state. The state don't have to send that money to the federal government. And if the person that they, you know, here's another thing, too. And Mississippi is very low economically for its citizens. Well, that congressperson won't make as much as somebody coming from another state, like, for instance, Alaska. Well, then do something in order to bring up the economic conditions of your state. But once you go to Washington, D.C., you don't give a damn.
Yeah, that's about it. They need to go back to maybe not part-time, maybe pay them three-quarter time and have them go home. Cause that's what they do now.
Every bill should stand alone. It shouldn't be no more than about a dozen pages. Every bill that they contemplate to turn into a law, it should stand alone. And the description of the bill should be in the title, not someplace on page 1095. If you got bills this complicated, then you got school system that is ratchet, is not educating people, kids can't read and write. Well, how the hell are they ever going to read a bill?
Yeah, can we stop with
doing
the misleading titles for these laws, like an act to bring nirvana and utopia to every single citizen of the United States, and then it is just a big tax bill or a gun-grabbing bill, and they give us some stupid name like that?
No, it also needs to go back to where a bill is just specific to one thing, not all this other bullshit that's added to it. All the pork belly, all the additives. It should be a very simple, okay, I want to change the name of whatever, or no one, instead of stuffing it. I'm so tired of them being stuffed.
Absolutely. It should be open to public hearing.
Another
it should
thing
be open to a period for public hearing where public can come in and do a yay or nay on it.
Another thing
and
I
it should
like.
Have a sunset. It should have a sunset. Happy, it shouldn't last forever till Methuselah is coming back.
I agree. Every bill should have that. Maybe not every bill, but every spending bill, I think, should.
And I don't care what anybody say. Every state needs to be able to appoint a judge to the Supreme Court there for a limited number of time period. And come up with a method to break ties because what they attack, they just constantly attacking Clarence Thomas. He just had another gun rule that Clarence Thomas had the best opinion on it that you could ever imagine. Everybody else is just ratchet. You need to have at least 49 more like him.
Not going to find them. Well, I think they're out there, but they're smart enough not to run for office.
any government official.
You won't get one. You won't get one single clearance summons from California, Illinois, New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and a whole bunch of other states. You won't find one like Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, and in the tax he's getting, where's your race hustlers at? Why come they not protect him? His skin is black. Last time it looked like that to me, the huge starch.
Very much so. Very much so. In case
well, I mean, something. if you're black and you're a conservative, then you're not really black. I mean, Biden told everybody that. Don't forget.
He did.
That's true.
He did indeed. If you ain't figure out you only got to vote for me, you ain't black. He said you ain't black. I mean, he declared it. Affirmatively.
I forgot the guy's name now. He's on the, he's got a morning show. And who's making that racket, Cinnamon? It got quiet. And he didn't say anything. You know, he didn't call him out on it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, Charlemagne the God, that was his name. Yeah.
That's his name, yeah.
Charlemagne the God.
And that Vivek, whatever his name is, he tore that gal up that's on that show. Because what leadership role did you have? You know, like in school, were you... a hall monitor? Were you a president of your class? What did you do in school? And he just ripped her a new one. And
homecoming queen.
Oh God! I tell you what, they said you got to watch what you're posting now on Twitter and TikTok and all these other places that you can do this stuff in, because you will not be hired. Businesses have come out and said, we will not hire you if you're for Hamas. If you're for terrorism, you will not get a job here. And, man, that just set the place on fire. I got to remember who in the hell said it.
Good for them, though.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them.
They're waking up. Well, I think these businesses are finally getting their eyes open and saying, oh, man, look at the billions of dollars we have lost being dumbasses.
Well, even though the United Nations hasn't gotten with the program yet, the United States government has officially declared Hamas to be a terrorist organization.
Right.
So, I mean, any employer who would refuse to hire someone who has had ties to Hamas or support for them might be on solid ground by refusing to hire someone who's expressed support for a terrorist organization. So even the Ku Klux Klan hadn't been declared a terrorist organization by the government, by the federal government.
I don't know what. I just can't even. I can't guess what's going to happen next. It seems like we are in a bot. They got us where they want us. They got a dumbass government in the United States, and now they got Israel, and we're supplying Ukraine money and weapons, and they already came out 3 months ago and said, the Navy came out and said, we don't have enough to secure what they need to have secured. And now all of a sudden we're going to have to start supplying Israel. I mean, they got us in a bad way.
The money the United States has been giving Israel has been coming back around to organizations like AIPAC, then going to these politicians. That's how that works. That'll be a never-ending story.
Yeah. We got a Congress
in the long run. Hell, they got the same thing. They don't have no positive birth rate in Israel. They got to import people. What you call them Americans is Israelis with American passports, Americans with Israelis passports.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We got the best Congress that money can buy. Lobbyists rule Congress. There's all sorts of lobbies that Congress people are beholden to. And that's the problem. They're at the beck and call of the lobbyists with the biggest checkbook.
We need to put that money back into the pockets of American taxpayers, and we'd be much, much better off.
Yep.
We can spend our
keep that tax money in the first place. Look how they fight us tooth and nail over letting us keep more of our tax money in the first place. You might not spend it right. Remember, that's what Hillary Clinton said. You might not spend it. We would let you keep more of your money, but you might not spend it the right way.
There's no way to investigate those Congress people based on how they're being paid to see exactly what they are getting and where it's coming from. There's no way. We just heard that Solis was receiving money from Bankman. Wasn't it Bankman with that crypto company, the Ponzi scheme?
Yeah.
FTX.
How did that information get out? I mean, should that not have been a front page in Louisiana so that the citizens would know that your politician is being bought? You know, that's what's going on in the black community. Blacks vote for a politician, and everybody else buy them right out from underneath of them.
Well, happens with white people.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, why should vote black be any different?
Whites is just ignorance don't have no respect for color or skin.
Well, I'm gonna tell you who the 13 out of the 22 rhinos who wouldn't vote for Jim Jordan are connected to FTX contributions and voter mule donations. And it's not just police. Yeah, it's his view that they are Kate Granger of Texas, Mike Simpson, Carlos Jimenez. Gene Higgins, Marionette Miller Meeks, Mike Lawler, Steve Womack, Mike Kelly, Mike Simpson, Mario Diaz Bellart, Linda Chavez Drummer, Andrew Gabarino, Tony Gonzalez, and John Rutherford.
And isn't Johnny, what's his name? John Jones from Michigan? I think that's his last name.
Well, I just read the Republicans who were taking the money. Yeah. Those Republicans. The ones, every name I just read off is a Republican who took money from FTX.
Your SEC has put companies out of business that American citizens had thousands of dollars involved in with their arbitrage investments along the lines of crypto. California banned those companies from working. And you got the Californians had to give addresses of relatives in other states to get involved. California, I think South Carolina, maybe one or two. Now even Texas, too. Yeah, Texas. That's a bunch of bull crap. Don't adults know who and what they should be able to get involved in?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But you let Bartman now. Let's see what happened to Bankman.
Yeah, well, you know, this happened, what, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago? You don't hear nothing about it anymore.
His trial just started, last week, and nobody's been talking about that. There's been testimony
I didn't know that.
Well, he's being tried right now. I mean, the trial isn't over yet.
No, but I didn't even know
it's not over yet. But it started last week.
I know, but I haven't heard anything about it. I mean,
I give you some of the updates from the trial. He's almost spilling his guts in the trial, it seems.
Oh,
he's naming names.
And they're
being real quiet about it. There's testimony at the trial.
You know, they must be. They must be, because I haven't heard a damn thing.
Sam Bankman-Fried was talking about paying Trump $5 billion not to run for president?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Man, that's how desperate they are to keep him out of the White House. Can you imagine $5 billion not to run for office? And Trump got enough fucking money to say, yeah, I ain't got it. Fuck you. Trump wouldn't have taken it anyway.
Well, hell no.
Shoot, I mean, he could have taken it and not run, right? But this kind of shows that he doesn't give a shit about those two people.
I believe he's the least corrupt politician we've had in a major high office in many a moon. They try to tell me he's a crook and he's corrupt.
I agree.
He's probably the least corrupt ever. Who's been investigated more than him? The worst they got on him is that they claim his property was overvalued, and it wasn't. It was actually undervalued for the loan he was asking for. That damn property is worth at least low end $750 million on a high end $1.1 to $1.3 billion. Minimum on the market.
How many charges?
Wait. The banks could have requested an appraisal. The banks did not request an appraisal from the ones he got a loan from. He gave them a value and they accepted it. They never requested an appraisal of the value.
All they had to do was just have somebody look up somebody in the bank could have just looked up the market value of that house relative to other properties in the area. And they knew easily that the property was worth, without any investigation, that property was worth what it was, what he was asking. He paid every penny back with interest.
You know what he said in his last, a week ago when he was doing, I think it was a rally, but it could have been something else. He said, put me in jail. I'm ready. Put me in jail. Because he's got that gag order on him, right? He can't say anything.
He's already been fined $5,000. The judge already fined him $5,000. Yeah. She said she's prepared to go further.
Oh, yeah. And the judge I'm talking about is a guy that he's been trashing the hell out of. Trump has been trashing the hell out of the AG, which rightly so. And this judge... And the judge has put a gag on an order on him, and Trump saying, "Put me in jail. I want you to put me in jail, because I've got to talk. I got to say what I feel and what I believe in, and what you're doing." And the judge down in Georgia and the prosecutor in Georgia is wrong, and you know it's wrong. And you might as well put me in jail now, because I'm not going to shut up. he didn't.
This is insane. What they're doing this man is something I never thought I'd see happen to any former president that had not previously been charged with crime.
No.
Any
never
president. I mean, even Obama, as much as I despise that bastard, you know. Jesus. And that man needs to be in jail if anybody is.
Boy, they really got quiet on that chef that got they found drowned and found his clothes and everything else. I'd like to know who the female was.
Maybe he got sight of Michelle Obama's equipment. Who knows?
Yeah. Or he and Obama was together and they thought he was a girl.
He had to be silenced and whatever. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't like to make these things without some evidence of it. But everything about that couple is as funky and murky as it can be.
It is. Just like the Clintons. I don't know if they're worse than the Clintons. I don't think you can go there.
Depends on what aspect of worse you're talking about, but in many ways, yes, they are worse. But again, it depends on what particular aspect you're talking about. And some things are better are worse.
I thought, man, we got a black president. He's going to do everything in his power to do right and show everybody. And just, I went to work. People were friends that I've known for years in that truck plant. I worked at GM Truck and Bus, they were crying the next day. And I was so happy for them. But I tell you what, it didn't take but about 7 months. Well, it took one guy came up to me, said, are you telling me, and I'm saying, what are you talking about? About the beer gate. They're going to have a beer in the back because Obama blamed the whole police department for doing their damn job, stopping this guy. It looked like he was breaking in his house and wouldn't show his ID. And that would happen to be Obama's friend. So they arrested the guy. What's that?
Skip Gates. That was Skip Gates, the professor.
Yeah, the professor. And he was so arrogant, he wouldn't show his ID, so they arrested him because he was trying to break in one of the windows.
Yeah, because he lost his key. And so he's going to break the window again.
Now, what is so drastic about providing the police who's came to your house on the pretense that somebody is crawling through the damn window? Now, what normal homeowner crawls in and out of this damn window to go in and out of the house?
They have every obligation to investigate that. I mean,
yep.
Everyone.
Yep.
How do they know who he is? And you know what? Look, let me tell you something. I wouldn't fool, but I had two occasions in my life to be somewhat up close and personal with Obama. Number one, I called him to a Chicago radio station and challenged him on his lies about a gun control bill in Illinois he was pushing. I knew they were lies because they didn't jive with what I knew was the homicide rate in Chicago and who was committing the homicide. And I called him on it on the air, and I gave him the facts and the figures. And he acquiesced to everything I said by not arguing with me about any of it. He just changed the subject. It was amazing. He was a state representative then. And then the second thing about him I knew about him was when I was working at Alan Key's campaign when he was running for United States Senate. I knew what a communist he was then, what a socialist Marxist stooge he was with a murky background. He never fooled me for a microsecond. I knew what he was going to be the minute he came into the public eye at the Democratic National Convention. I said, oh, Lord, please don't let this fool bamboozle the country because we're going to be worse off for it. What we're seeing now, seeds of it, not to say the actual mechanism which we saw the beginnings of in his administration, but the seeds of Biden were planted in 2008.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something, Sarge. I got this a while back. It wants me, I'll play it later for you, but it's an ex-Chicago cop speaks out, and who sent it? Paul. Paul, I'll get to it when I can. I can't, of course, play all of it, but I'll play some of it. Maybe you even know the ex-cop. I don't know who it is. John Garrido, Garrido, John, whatever, former police lieutenant, retired. Let me play this a little bit. So
migrants, they live in the
station.
That was a weird encounter.
These illegals are sleeping on the floor of the police station, folks. Floor.
Looked at me like, you think what we do is crazy. You're the crazy one.
Where else in the world do you have that isn't in a war-torn country?
The defender stood up over me and he fired twice point blank.
This is Sergeant Rubble.
I think you just got to get the word out and hopefully something will click somewhere and make a change.
So recently retired lieutenant, right?
Yes.
How many years?
I was on 32 years. I started in January 91 and just left at the end of last year.
Okay. So today you're going to bring us into different corners of Chicago, explain the current crime situation, police perspective, what's going on?
So where we are right now is we're near Montrose Harbor, and what we're looking at out here is all these tents are homeless people.
But why do you want to show this? Because homeless doesn't mean crime necessarily. What's the thing about this situation?
Right, homeless doesn't mean crime.
So right now, our officers are completely overtaxed because we've got this migrant situation.
Okay.
And all the migrants are literally living in the police stations throughout the city. They have full access to the front lobbies of the police stations and outside. They're setting up their own encampments outside of these police stations. A homeless person, if they slept in the police station every single morning, they're booted out in the morning. You know, we'll let them in because, you know, the weather and the elements or whatever, they can sleep in there. In the morning, they got to go. They're gone all day long, and then maybe they'll come back at night so they can sleep there. Migrants have full access. They can be there all day. They actually send buses that will pull up. Actually, it's called like a shower wagon.
Okay.
That'll pull up so that the migrants can take showers and get cleaned up. We're spending millions of dollars to take care of the migrants. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be taking care of the migrants. They're here.
Yeah.
They're here trying to.
Why is everybody being so nice? It doesn't mean I'm against migrants. They're illegal. Say it like it is. Damn.
Get a better life. I get all that. We should take care of them.
No, we shouldn't take care of them.
No, we shouldn't.
What are we doing for them? We've got empty schools. We've got empty buildings all over the place. How about you set up a one-stop shopping where they have medical and they have, counseling and they have whatever they need.
Sure.
And allow both in there.
Okay. So in Chicago, are there a home for those people if they want to get off drugs, play by the rules of the curfews, be clean? Could they go into a home?
There's shelters. They're all full.
They're full?
Oh, yeah. Our shelters are full up.
Okay.
Wow, I can't listen. Thank you, Paul. But I'll listen at this. I like the guy, Paul Santinello, I think is his name. Peter Santinello. I like he goes all over the country. It's crazy in Chicago. I mean, it's crazy. Crazy. Sorry about that. I'm done. Go ahead.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, man. We got too many people who literally think that the United States immigration policy should be for the benefit